the outdoor gear while supporting a local veteran-owned business? Check out NorCal Outfitters, proudly based right here in Redding, California. Built on a passion for the outdoors and the values that make our community strong, NorCal Outfitters offers apparel and gear designed for hunters, anglers, outdoorsmen, and anyone who loves the outdoor lifestyle. And right now, we're excited to announce our partnership with Ultimate Predator Outfitters to give you a chance to win an incredible 3-day guided California hog hunt experience. Your ticket includes lodging, expert guides, and the opportunity to create memories that last a lifetime. Whether you're a seasoned hunter or looking to experience your first guided hunt, this is an opportunity you won't want to miss. Support local, support veteran owned, and enter today by purchasing your raffle tickets at ncofit.com. That's ncofit.com. NorCal Outfitters, born for the wild, born for life.
Explore, learn, and play this summer at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Discover 300 acres of adventure featuring the Turtle Bay Museum, playgrounds, animals, botanical gardens, trails, and so much more. This summer, experience Popnology and explore science and technology. Marvel at hundreds of butterflies in our butterfly house. Feed lorikeets in Parrot Playhouse. Hop on a ride with the Turtle Express train. And don't miss the popular Walk on the Wild Side Animal Show. Plan your visit today at turtlebay.org.
Check in with Matt Wolf. Talk a little culinary. Talk a little French food. And Matt Wolf will talk the controversy with the Odyssey as well as all sorts of entertainment stuff. This first hour, though, we're going to talk about Todd Blanche and the acting attorney general and how in the world is he going to get the acting dropped and make him actually attorney general. We're going to talk to David Katz. He's the founder and the principal member of Katz & Associates. He's also a former assistant U.S. attorney under President Ronald Reagan. He's a former federal prosecutor and a criminal defense attorney. David Katz, welcome to America at Night.
Great to be with you, McGraw.
Let's talk about the dynamics of this and the chess pieces. Looks like he's not going to be able to get confirmed by this current Senate because of the two holdouts, Tom Tillis and John Cornyn. But if you look at how this is going to play out, Donald Trump's, to me, is holding all the cards. He can't Todd Blanche just basically be acting attorney general for the rest of Trump's term?
Well, the oddity is that he was going to run the Department of Justice if he got confirmed, and he was going to run the Department of Justice if he wasn't confirmed. I think the North Star in all of this is that Trump wants to cling to that deal that he coerced, cajoled, whatever you want to call it, Blanche, into agreeing on with him. That was the price. That was the Faustian deal that Blanche made in order to...
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Good evening, welcome out from Tender Field in Redding, California. Jacob Green here with you, joined by Spencer Slayton. It's great to have you with us for this Friday night edition of Colt 45's Baseball, Game 2 of a 3-game series to close out this 2026 summer season. We're looking to get underway here as they were face off in Game 2 of this series against the Fairfield Indians. Looking for the win in the series. Hopefully they can go for the rubber match tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely, Jacob. Again, just a great night for some baseball. The final weekend here at Tiger Field for the campaign. 31-4, the Colt 45s are on the season, but as you mentioned, dropping their first game in 18. They won 17 straight up until last night, but they lose 7-4. They're looking to stay alive in the series with the win tonight and set up, as you mentioned, the rubber match for tomorrow to end up the campaign on the right foot. So they've won 17 of their last 18, but their only loss in those 18 games coming to this team just 24 hours ago. So looking to get out of that. And as far as for the Fairfield Indians, looking to keep those bats hot. As you mentioned yesterday, 4 solo shots leaving the park here just for on the side of the Indians. And now they're looking to keep that going and clinch the series win with another victory tonight over the Colt 45s, which has been a tough side to beat all year long.
Yeah, for the 45. They needed to win out in order to beat the 2024 season record of 35-4. But they went 33-5 last season, and if it stays that way, with Sheriff and Sice facing off tonight, 33-5 is the record to beat this season, and they need to win the next two, as you said, 31-3. So, just as far as the losses are concerned, at least, not going to get that amount of wins with some cancellations. So we get the starting lineups, and now we'll have the national anthem brought to you by the Sandlot Sound. We're going to cut away to break, and we'll be back in about a minute or so to bring you the starting lineups here on KCNR, Shasta Redding, 1468.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. The Fairfield Indians taking on your Colt 45s, and to bring you the starting lineups, here's Mr. Spencer Schlanger.
Thank you, Jacob. Starting off for the Fairfield Indians, we have Ethan Boatman starting off playing right, leading off tonight for the Indians, followed by left fielder Caleb Morant, batting second, batting third, and patrolling the hot corner in left field is going to be Bo Smith, followed by Larry Westbrook, batting in that roundoff spot, standing first base tonight. Jaden Hunter batting fifth and playing short. Batting sixth is Kamone Lake and playing center field. AJ Ricker is going to be batting seventh, playing second base. The designated hitter tonight coming later in the lineup is going to be Sean Hutchins. And rounding it off is going to be Joey Mason behind the dish as well for the Fairfield Indians. And for your Redding Colt 45s here, looking to get back in the win column. Around the horn at third, we have Nicholas Caballero, followed by Preston Conklin at short, Deegan Palos at second, and Andrew Mora at first. In the outfield from left to right, we have Bradley Blankenship in left, followed by Tyler Zanheiser patrolling center, and Timmy Ayers out in right. Behind the dish is going to be Rowan Brown, and his battery mate on the mound, getting the nod from head coach Bob Anderson, is going to be Nate Sheriff tonight to start off for your Colt 45s, who again are looking to get the job done tonight and even up this series and set up a final game in a best 2 out of 3 series, of course. Most of the series so far this campaign have been 3-game series, which is a little bit new. We saw a lot of 4-game series last year. But it's good to have a designated winner in almost every series.
Yeah, and it'll be a fun weekend of baseball. It's a final weekend. A lot of energy in the ballpark. It's, again, always a fair amount of fans here. Don't get me wrong, but there's a certain level of, you know, fans care more about the game in the final weekend series because, you know, it's going to be gone for another year and then
right. Wait
around for it. Baseball comes back in the summer, so it should be a fun night of baseball. Last night, Ty Kazumi silenced the Colt 45 bats for the most part. He allowed 7 hits, 3 runs. Two of those 3 were earned. He walked 2, struck out 5, and ended the 17-game winning streak of these Colt 45s. Ty Kazumi absolutely shoving last night for the Fairfield Indians, who are 9-20 on the year with 2 ties versus Novato and Indio Sacramento. And they beat the 45s last night and handed the 45s their 4th loss of the season. Jed Hattori was on the hill, 4 2/3, 8 hits, 6 runs, 5 earned, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. And a big story in that ballgame last night was the fact that the Colt 45s only walked 3 times. And I believe there was 1 hit by pitch, and that was Nicholas Caballero. That's not something that has happened a lot this season. When they don't get those free passes awarded, the offense doesn't go stagnant, but it just goes a little bit quieter. There's not as much free bases to be taken up. So That's right. Something that kind of fixed the night.
Yeah, absolutely. That does make sense as well. The Fairfield Indians, of course, as you're watching the game, you said they played a cleaner game, obviously. And with the Colt 45s, you don't get that free pass. Obviously, those long home run shots are obviously worth less runs when there's less people on the base. So, and I feel like that's very normal. Every team will struggle if they have to earn every single 90 feet. It's going to be harder to win games. So, credit to the Fairfield Indians for making it tough on this Colt 45 team, which we've seen a lot of wins just coming based off the free pass or the hit by pitch or just one inning where they scored 12 runs and that threw three times. You know, yeah. So just keeping clean for the Indians is the reason they won last night.
And the 45s they play a very scrappy brand of baseball. And when you don't get those free passes, like you said, it's just a little bit harder to scratch runs across. You're not getting free traffic on the base pass. You're having to earn every at bat. And they did do a great job of not striking out a ton last night either, because, I mean, that's the definition of a rally killer. They struck out a total of 7 times. But at the same time, you know, you want to put the ball in play, put back the ball. The more you do that, the more it's going to find a hole. That's just how it works. That's how baseball is. As we'll see what they do here tonight. It's clear blue skies overhead. And the lefty, Nate Scherr, on the hill getting the baseball from Bob Anderson tonight. Lefty, 6'1", 190, left out of San Marcos, California. Palomar Junior College down in SoCal. 310 down the right field line, 320 to left down the line. 358 to left center, to the left of the Tiger Field scoreboard. 370 to right center. And then 406 straight away to the batter's eye, that black wall out there in center field, where the flags are standing still beyond that wall, sitting at 101 degrees here as we await first pitch with clear skies all around us. It's a beautiful night for baseball here at Tiger Field. The Colt 45s rocking the home whites with the yellow sleeves, Fairfield Indians, white bottoms, blue tops, Indian script across the chest in red lettering. We look to get underway here. And the Colt 45s looking to get back in this series, get the first win of it, and then go for the rubber match tomorrow, try and salvage 2 of 3 in this final series of the 2026 summer season. To lead things off, here's a right-hand batter, Ethan Boatman, who led off with that solo shot last night. It was one of 4 solo shots for the Indians last night. He'll dig in, right-hand batter, deep in the box, but a slightly open stance. The lefty Sheriff peers in, gets a sign from the third base side, kicks and deals. On the inside corner, first pitch at 7:17. And we are underway here at Tiger Field, an 0-1 count on the right-hand batting Boatman. Sheriff comes set. Out of the stretch, kicks and deals the 0-1. Here's a line shot right at Mora, moving to his right, we'll snare it for out number 1, and that's the way our ball game begins.
Yeah, and what a grab there from Mora on that first base line. Usually third base is referred to as the hot corner, but nothing going there on first base. Don't want to take anything away from Mora. And also, a very tough catch to make there in the sun as well, right on the infield. Just right, probably a couple feet behind that infield grass. Just throwing the glove up, throwing something at the ball, and able to come down with it. What a grab it was for Mora.
Yeah, infield shifted to pull on the righty, so Mora was shaded toward that 3-4 hole about 15, 20 feet off the first base bag. And like you said, Spencer, with the sun bouncing off. Right, I mean, he's fully in the sun with the sun slowly starting to dip behind the tree line here on the third base side. Shadows just slowly creeping across the field as the first pitch misses wide to the right-hand batting Caleb Morant. Here's the 1-0 from Sheriff. Swing and miss. 1-1.
Yeah, Sheriff so far looking really comfortable, left-handed pitcher off the mound. Just some high-octane deliveries so far. Early on, obviously, just a few pitches in, you wouldn't expect anything else.
Now the 1-1 delivery with 1 out, nobody on. Swing and miss for 2, blowing it by him. For this Colt 45 defense, they're shaded a little bit toward right with the right-hand batter. But, I mean, yeah, what a catch from Mora. It was cutting away from him. Kind of threw his glove out there, like you said, Spencer, snared it. And that's a tough catch, especially with the sun just right in your face.
Absolutely.
Here's the 1-2 from Sheriff. Right there on the outside corner at the knees, ringing up strike 3, called Morant, gone, a look at. That is out number 2, so quickly 2 away for Bo Smith, who was one of the 4 solo shots last night. We were talking about it before the game got underway, Spencer, but the solo shots, those are home runs you're okay with giving up, because
like you said, without the free passes aboard, the walks and everything else, with the errors, solo shots, it's just one run.
Right.
Nothing major. But when you give up a three run dinger, or worse, you know, a couple errors on a play or one error on a play, multiple runs come around to score, you're giving up a bunch of extra base hits versus, you know, four blemishes on the scorecard is not a terrible night for Jed Hattori.
Right.
Here's the 1-0. Trip Sheriff kicks and deals. Swing and a miss. Chase the off-speed, low and in.
Big cut there from Smith as well. He's looking to go yard yet again. He doesn't mind the solo shot, especially this early in the ballgame.
And Sheriff pitching predominantly inside on these right-hand batters. And that was even the line shot toward Mora. It was an inside-out swing from Boatman. Here's a 1-1. On the inside corner, drops a breaking ball in there for strike two. And so far, Sheriff has been successful through two batters.
Yeah, and that, as you mentioned, I just caught eye of that as well as the inside corner has definitely been favored towards Sheriff. He's been favoring that pitch, and Roman Brown's done a great job of framing that ball in the zone as well. It pretty much won every close call, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100% is this 1-2 pitch is his way up and away. It's even the count up of two balls and two strikes here in this scoreless top of the first inning. Sheriff readies from the third base side. Out of the stretch, kicks, deals the 2-2. On the inside corner at the knee, the ring of the strike recalled. And the side is retired. A couple of K's in the inning as the Indians go 1-2-3. We're scoreless with the Colt 45 coming up in the bottom half.
Tonight's game is sponsored by Mentor Community Services. For the past 40 years, Mentor Community Services programs have helped people with disabilities, mental health challenges, and other needs to build the skills and positive relationships they need to live full and joyful lives. Stop by today at 696 Adelaide Avenue or call at 530-221-9911. That's 530-221-9911.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Explore, learn, and play this summer at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Discover 300 acres of adventure featuring the Turtle Bay Museum, playgrounds, animals, botanical gardens, trails, and so much more. This summer, experience Popnology and explore science and technology. Marvel at hundreds of butterflies in our butterfly house. Feed lorikeets in Parrot Playhouse. Hop on a ride with the Turtle Express train. And don't miss the popular Walk on the Wild Side Animal Show. Plan your visit today at turtlebay.org.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. Timmy Ayers is going to be leading off for your Redding Colt 45s here, the left-handed batter who's patrolling right field here tonight, followed by Preston Conklin and Nicholas Caballero. In a 0-0 ball game, two strikeouts, a pair of strikeouts coming in the top of the first from Nate Sheriff, as well as a great line-out, more or less, from Ethan Boatman, but kicked by Andrew Mora. So some great defense starting for the Colt 45s here. Now we'll see if the offense can follow suit.
Harris will dig into that left-hand batter's box. Did the routine handshake with the catcher, Joey Mason, and the home plate umpire. Digs in the back of the batter's box after a short conversation with the home plate umpire. Now ready to the pitcher Ben Seitz, who had a solo shot last night for the Indians. The righty will wind the deal. Foul back to the screen for strike one. No balls and one strike here in a scoreless bottom of the first. Ayers digs back in, working the 0-1 count. Ben Seitz standing at about 6-1, 6-2. Here's the 0-1. On the inside corner, right at the belt.
And again, this umpire so far just getting a feel for the game as well as the players are getting a feel for the decisions he's making. But anything pretty relatively close, like 50-50 on the zone, he's called strike so far. So just something to keep in mind when you're on the mound and definitely in the batter's box as well for both these sides.
This one misses for ball one. One ball, two strike count. Timmy Ayers, who last night went 0 for 4 with a walk and a strikeout. He was in left field, but then moved on over to right. Here's a 1-2 from the righty. On the outside, corner, ring him up, strike three called. Gone, a-looking, goes Timmy Ayers. And so far, four batters, three strikeouts, all three looking.
I was about to say, yeah, there I rest my case as far as those close 50-50 ones being called strikes. It's somebody likes calling the punchies, that's for sure.
Yeah. And as
can't complain with them calling them both ways, of course, so far.
I was going to say, it's a very consistent strike zone,
right.
But also usually when you have three looking strikeouts like that, it's indicative of a somewhat dynamic zone, as
yeah,
this one misses low.
A little
in.
More broad.
And again, we're early in the ball game. That's where the strike zone's still getting established by
right. Home
plate umpire and everything else, but some of those close calls are going the strike wise. This one's chopped toward the first baseman who loses it. Just keeps it from going by him. A carom sort foul territory was picked up by the second baseman, Ricker. And Conklin is aboard on the E3. It's a hard hit ball, but on the chopper, the first baseman, I don't know if he lost it in the sun or just didn't know how to handle the hop. It was bouncing all sorts of wild ways.
Yeah, absolutely. He just got some shades handed to him as well, delivered from the dugout. So to say the least, I had no doubt in my mind it was the sun. That's why I was that at the top of the first, that first out from Andrew Moore was just such an impressive play. As it's already the sun going down, making a quick descent here in Redding, California tonight. It's already almost shaded the entirety of that first base line, but definitely still played major factor there.
This one misses low. The catcher Mason thought about a back pick, but decides to hold on to it.
Probably a good idea based off how that last series of events went down the first base line, obviously.
Yeah, you don't want a throw getting lost in the sun.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially one that's definitely coming towards the head area, like the glove up there at least.
Yeah,
it's an accurate one.
Now the sun just gleaming off of the first baseman's sunglasses. The vision just barely in the sun, but the ground in the shadows, the 1-0 waved at by Caballero, got him to chase a breaking ball down and away. That was ruled a hit for Conklin, so
there you go. Cole
45 said the first hit of the night and the first hit of our ball game.
And I'm sure Larry Westbrook will appreciate that as well.
Oh,
no,
yeah,
no blemish on his record there, which would have been a little bit of a harsh one for sure with the sun.
Which is what I was thinking as well. Quick
right. Move
back to first, not in time. Back diving in is Conklin, who was thrown out last night trying to steal second. The infield shifted the pole along with the outfield. Looking for a double play. Here's the 1-1. Runner goes. Pitch taken outside. Throw down to second base. Is going to be wide and into center field, but the shortstop doing a great job of deking Preston Conklin, who's in with the head first slide with the stolen base as the center fielder Lake comes charging in on it and is able to keep it close to the infield where Conklin does not even think about taking third base. So Caballero now with a 2-1 count and a runner on second.
Yeah, and a good heads up play there by Conklin, but also by that shortstop again, as I mentioned, holding him on or just with a good, smartly played deke there, but that ball, even coming in from center field, possibly could have got him dead in his tracks there if he went for three.
A 2-1 Caballero showing bunt and fouls it back toward the Indians on deck circle on the first base side. Two balls and two strikes on the Colt 45's third baseman. Now digging back in is Caballero. Waves the wood, steps in. Even stance, he's deep in the box up on the plate. Two balls and two strikes. If you're Caballero and you're putting the ball in play, you want to get it to the right side of the field. Try and get Conklin in to score the first run of this ball game. Here's the 2-2. Fouled up and away, out of play.
We really got all of that foul ball as well, just a little bit under it, so that backspin kicks it back behind him, behind the entire ballpark, actually.
Just a little bit under it.
Yeah.
Andrew Mora on deck as well, and in the event of the inning continuing, some power in the on-deck circle that we haven't witnessed a long ball in a while from Mr. Mora, and that's something you'd love to see early in this ball game here, especially after last night. The 2-2 misses low and in for ball three. Caballero was hit by a pitch last night, but then he had a double as well. He went 1 for 4. him and Conklin hitting a double. And the heart of this lineup with Mora, Caballero, and Conklin has just been a very dynamic force all season long. Here's the payoff delivery with 3 balls and 2 strikes. Breaking ball just misses inside. Thought it was going to be strike three.
Close one for sure. And on the arms, definitely towards the elbows, you saw Caballero kind of faint away from it just slightly, but that umpire was thinking about it too. You could see the debate on his head.
Yeah, it's just a little bit too much inside. Didn't quite catch the corner of the plate. Now the left hand batting Mora to the plate.
Is now first base probably just, again, once they get out of the inning, once they head to the second inning, first base would be a lot easier to play, I'd say, position-wise, based off the sun and where this field is facing here at in Redding, California.
Yeah, the shadow's covering pretty much all of the infield. There's about a stripe of sunlight toward the second baseman where he's playing fully in the sun. Then the first baseman just in the shadows. Ground ball toward the third baseman, but foul by about somewhere in the realm of less than a foot.
Yeah.
Wide of that bag. And with the shadows, the first baseman, about half of his body, his upper body, in the sun, depending on where he's standing over there. So he's shifted on over to the shade, but just trying to duck behind the tree line, playing about a foot or two differently than how he would. But the infield shifted to pull on the left-hand batting Mora. Now the 0-1 delivery after the foul ball. Mora with the socks up high in the open stance deep in the left-hand batter's box. Hits this one in the air, foul, out of play down the third base side. Out toward left field for strike two. Mora last night, 3 for 5. Had the most hits in that ball game for the 45s. Came around to score twice and had an RBI. He did not record a strikeout or walk, which you love to see from this 6'4" left-hand batter. Now the 0-2 from the righty sights. Out of the stretch. Glove at the belt. Kicks and deals. Breaking ball misses low and away. Almost caught the knee of Mora. Way to lay off of it, not chase the breaking ball. Sights peering in as catcher Mason. The runners take their leads from first and second. It's Caballero and Conklin. The 1-2 delivery to the left-hand batting Mora. Waved at. Runner goes for it down to third. Tag applied. And safe in at third is Conklin. Almost had the strike him out, throw him out, double play. Mora down on strikes, but Conklin safe at third. That will bring up Tyler Zanizer, right-hand batter.
Good speed and good slide as well from Conklin, keeping him in it there. Now you got runners on the corners, and Zanizer, again, another heavy hitter who's got an opportunity to bring some runs across, but with 2 outs away as well, you know, Conklin's going on any contact, so anything could get him home.
And part of the fun of where we sit here on this third base side in the radio booth, the 2 poles that hold up the netting to protect fans, which I'll touch on that later, we had a bat go through the netting last night, which is probably the rarest thing to happen here. And those poles, a strike is delivered here on the inside corner at the knees for strike one. Those poles blocking the second and third base bags on the base path side as you go into the base, if that makes sense, between the bases. So it's kind of hard to, you know, see, you're kind of moving back and forth, shaking and baking. Here's the 0-1. This is low and away. Trying to make sure you can see the call and get it right. One ball and one strike as the runners take their leads from the corners with 2 outs. Outfield shifted to pole. Especially the center fielder, Lake. Pickoff move toward first is not in time. Back diving in is Caballero. Left field in the shadows, center field with some spots of sun out there, and then right field fully in the sun with a hand up above his face. That's Boatman. Pickoff move back again toward first, not in time. Diving back is Caballero, and that's 2 disengagements now. So the third one, if another disengagement happens here from the pitcher Ben Seitz, Caballero will be awarded second base unless he is picked off. On the third attempt, you have to be picked off. Zanizer with a check swing on the delivery, and they say he goes around for strike two.
Yeah, close one. I do think he just finished that swing enough to be called strike there. Definitely a close one.
Yeah, just barely started to go around. Couldn't hold up on it. The breaking ball low and away. The ever-tempting breaking ball pitch away to try and push it the other way. Here's the 1-2. There's a line shot, and right at the shortstop, bending down to a knee, will squeeze the sinking line drive, and the side is retired. The 45s get a hit. They leave two aboard, and after one complete, we're scoreless here at Tiger Field.
Tonight's game is sponsored by Mentor Community Services. At Mentor Community Services, every person we serve is unique with skills, strengths, and their own vision for their lives. We work with each individual and their circle of support to create a plan of service that best works for them. Stop by today at 696 Azalea Avenue or call at 530-221-9911. That's 530-221-9911.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency Program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hello, fans. Welcome back to Redding, California, here at Tiger Field. We are scoreless through the first inning. We are now heading to the top of the second inning. A pair of strikeouts for Nate Sheriff in that top of the first where they went through the orders. Now it's going to be Larry Westbrook, followed by Jaden Hunter, and followed by Capone Lake. So getting their first opportunity to have a crack at Nate Sheriff. Still scoreless through one.
Now a left-on-left matchup here with Westbrook and Sheriff. First one misses up and in for ball one. That left-on-left matchup, the disadvantage to the batter even more so, just with the angle of the ball and everything. It's a slowly dying breed out in Major League Baseball. This one's fouled up and away out of play toward the third base side. The lefty specialist role no longer a thing because you have a three-batter minimum in Major League Baseball, but it used to be where you had a lefty specialist out of the pen to face off against those left-hand hitting power hitters. Totally different ballgame nowadays. Here's the 1-1. Right there. Drops in a breaking ball for strike two.
Sheriff has had some great pitches so far. He has no command issues whatsoever. He's hit the zone on almost every pitch he's intended on hitting the zone.
Yeah, his command has been sensational so far tonight. Again, it's a very young ballgame, but still, the 1-2 is foul back to the screen, and we'll do it again.
Yeah, good job there by Westbrook, doing enough to stay alive as well.
Just doing his best to, you know, hit those spots.
Yeah.
Follow his catcher, who tonight is Rowan Brown. You know, make sure, follow the scouting report. Pitch where the ball needs to go and get those batters to swing and miss. Here's the 1-2 delivery from Sheriff off the third base side. Misses up and in for ball two. And a lot of it is set up in order to get the punch out or get a ground ball, keep the batter on his toes, sometimes push him back to his heels, you know, just off balance. Here's the 2-2 delivery. It's chopped at the plate and goes back toward the Indians on deck circle. Count holds it, 2 balls and 2 strikes. With nobody out here in a scoreless pop of the second inning, Jacob Green and Spencer Schling tonight here with you. It's great to have you with us for this final weekend of baseball. We got 2 games left, counting this one for the 2026 summer season. Here's the 2-2 from Sheriff as he comes set. Love it by his back shoulder. The lefty from the third base side out of the stretch kicks and deals. A breaking ball chopped toward Moore at first. Gathered there and take himself. Thought about flipping it to Sheriff, but instead will make the journey on his own for out number one.
Yeah, smart heads up play there by Andrew Moore. Sheriff a little bit slow to get off the mound. Wasn't given a full entire sprint. I think he figured Moore was going to end up taking it himself. So the fake underhand toss and decided to jog it out there and beat a strong-willed Westbrook there. He almost got there, but just a couple steps late.
Yeah, just a little play action.
Right, there you go.
A little play action, no pass. Here's the first pitch from Sheriff to the right-hand batting Jaden Hunter. Called strike one. Here's the first lefty in the lineup for the Fairfield Indians. Now the 0-1 to the righty with a wide-open stance deep in the box. Check swing. Goes off the handle and the hand for strike one.
And a little unfortunate there from Hunter. Just the deflection off the barrel of the bat, the very bottom, and then off the hands as well.
Yeah, that's
not ideal.
Anytime
the swing motion as well.
Anytime it's off the knob or the end of the bat, the barrel head like that, it'll rattle your hands. It hurts a lot, but especially when it makes contact with you. Now the 0-2, this is up and away for one ball and two strikes. And if you've ever used a metal bat, which we've talked about, it slow pitch softball and then just messing around baseball wise, goes off the end of the bat or off the knob, it hurts way more than a metal bat. That thing rattles.
Imagine. Yeah.
Here's the 1-2 delivery with one out from Sheriff. Breaking ball, rainbows it, up and away.
Yeah, unfortunately from Sheriff, that one didn't look like it was hitting the zone at all from the release. Just missed pretty high. Maybe
yeah.
lost control of it a little bit on the delivery, I'd assume.
That might have been the first pitch where you could evidently tell Sheriff missed his spot. Here's the 2-2, waved at, swung on and missed. For out number 2. That is strikeout number 3 for Nate Sheriff. That will bring up Keeman Lake, the center fielder, right-hand batter.
Center fielder, number 33, Keeman Lake.
Come on with an even stance. Midway in the batter's box. A widespread stance for the righty. Here's the first pitch from Sheriff, misses upstairs. For ball 1 to the center fielder, Lake. The 1-0 delivery is hit in the air toward center, playable for Zanizer, who will squeeze it for out number 3, and the side is retired. 1-2-3, go the Indians through 1.5 here at Tagger Field with the back half of the order coming up for the Colt 45s.
Tonight's game is sponsored by Mentor Community Services. For the past 40 years, Mentor Community Services programs have helped people with disabilities, mental health challenges, and other needs to build the skills and positive relationships they need to live full and joyful lives. Stop by today at 696 Azalea Avenue or call at 530-221-9911. That's 530-221-9911.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com. Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor...
Bottom of the second inning... Here in this scoreless ball game, Hutchings, Blankenship, and Brown due up for the 45s. Wade Hutchings out of Redding, California, from Enterprise High School, a new addition to this roster here in these last couple of weeks. Widespread stance for the right-hand batter. as Seitz kicks and deals a fastball, blows it by him for strike one.
Yeah, and both gentlemen on the mound so far have really liked the fastball and just some high-octane pitches finding the zone and getting these guys swinging for the most part.
The 0-1. This is low and away. Over but low. Take that back. One ball and one strike with nobody out. The third baseman a couple steps back of the bag at third. There's the 1-1. Styled back to the screen. Look out, all the POs back behind the plate running that radar gun, including Nolan Bentley, the Albuquerque, New Mexico native who pitched last night. Here's the 1-2. It's chopped up the middle, charging the shortstop. Hunter gathers, throws the first in time for the sixth put out. Hutchings grounds out.
Yeah, it's a good play there by Hunter as well on short. He really had to pursue that ball quickly and then able to fire it in there and getting out the one here. Keeping this game scoreless and keeping the Ducks off the water, I guess.
I love that saying has caught fire a little bit.
Absolutely.
And we've called enough sports together at this point.
Great lob. Great lob. I would never quoted that if it wasn't from you.
I think I got it from a book back there in like elementary school. They said Ducks on the pond. First pitch says low and in. Yeah, Ducks on the pond look to get some meat on the table.
There you go.
Because it's got to be a Southern saying. I don't know. It's not, you know.
I'd put some money on it with you.
Here's a 1-0. This is away with the fastball again. Both pitchers throwing some high octane, like you said, Spencer. Probably sitting high 80s would be my guess. Looks like they're throwing some peas out there. Here's a 2-0. Waved at 2-1.
Maybe a slight hesitation on that swing from Blankenship as well. Just looked a little bit late on that one. But probably couldn't hold himself back because that was right down the heart of the zone. Maybe just took him a little too long to realize.
Now the 2-1 skips all the way past the catcher for ball three. This is the first three-ball count. Actually, this is the first count that's been above one ball for the 45s. And even on the other side. First batter with a three ball and whatever strike count. Here's the 3-1 delivery. That's going to plunk Blankenship, leaning out of the way of it, but it's going to be ball four regardless. He'll take first base on the free pass. Oh, and I take that back. Second. My apologies, because there was a walk to Caballero. Missed a couple things on my scorecard. Now Rowan Brown at the plate, the left-hand hitting catcher. Okay. He'll dig in.
Just some communication as well from Ben Seitz up on the mound to his infield, to his teammates, just making sure they're all on the same page here, I'd assume, to try to turn two and stay at the right depth here to work a double play. This one misses just high from ball number one. One ball, no strikes, one out in a scoreless ball game here at the bottom of the second, but a runner is on first in Bradley Blankenship after being punked by that
being held on
ball.
Being held on by Westbrook. See if he gets the green light to go. Here's this one taken on the outside corner for strike two. You have to assume he's not going to get the green light, but the Fairfield Indians at double play depth, and Rowan Brown being a catcher is going to be a little bit slower. So the Indians definitely have a chance for the double play, but for the 45s, you want to take it away as quick as possible. Here's the 1-2 delivery. There's a ground ball up the middle and through for a base hit. It was in on the hands, and Brown just drove it up the middle. That'll put runners at first and second, and now the 45s have some Ducks on the pond.
There you go, and a great contact swing there from Brown. Probably the best of the night from either side as far as actually sitting down and getting a runner on base. So great job there by Brown, swinging, as you mentioned, on the inside there. Right, picking up off the mound and out towards center field. No one right on that second base.
Edward the,
a double play depth.
Edward the bat boy with some applause. As Rowan Brown will get a courtesy runner in the 9 of Tyler Jones, which, not something you see every day. Catcher in Tyler Jones, who has the off night tonight, he played last night, got the start behind the dish. He's the courtesy runner tonight for Brown. And runners at first and second for the right-hand batting Deegan Paulos. Check swing, but no on the appeal. So the pitch is taken low and away. For ball one. So Tyler Jones at first base from the Rowan Brown single as the courtesy runner, the 1-0 is fouled back into the parking lot. One ball and one strike with one out. The 9 batter at the plate. Here in a scoreless ball game, the 45 is looking to put a number out there on the scoreboard. Nothing but goose eggs so far. Here's the 1-1 delivery from the righty Seitz. Kicks, deals. It's a line shot into right field for a base hit. It will get down. And holding at third is Blankenship. He was kicking it into fifth gear, rounding third, but the stop sign thrown up by the third base coach, John Downey. That will load the bases for the 45s, as it's the top of the order, and Timmy Ayers to the plate.
Yeah, that's a good call by Blankenship to hold, because that was thrown in from right field on a dime, right to the pitcher, who could have just turned around and basically handed it off to the catcher there.
Ethan Boatman just showing off the cannon out there in right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you want to do. You want to hit your cut, your cutoff man, or hit your cut, as we call it when we're playing. But the Indians will bring the corners in on the 45s right here, and then also have their shortstop and second baseman Hunter and Ricker play up the middle, just to try and turn a double play and get out of the jam. If it's hit to the corner, they'll go home to get the force, save the run. Here's the first pitch of the left-hand hitting Ayers. Misses wide for ball one. And when you hit your cut, you have the ability, you have a multiple choice question presented to you, and it's where to throw the ball next, or to just hold on to it. That's the situational baseball that comes in here at the developmental level. And that's a great job by the Indians to stick to that, the fundamentals, as the home plate umpire is going to pause the game here and chat things over with his crew. Not sure exactly what was said, but just making sure they're all on the same page. And in a situation like this, depending on where the ball goes, all the umpires are also going to have to shift, because it's not a four-person crew, it's a three-person crew. So it's essentially a zone defense. Here's a 1-0 delivery from the righty Seitz. On the outside corner, about belt high, maybe more depending on which Colt 45 you ask. Count moves to one ball and one strike on Timmy Ayers, who struck out looking his first time up. Left-hand batter with a compact stance deep in the box. Here's the 1-1 delivery, up and in. Turning away from it is Ayers. This count moves to two balls and one strike.
Yeah, it looked like that one had an opportunity to come in and hit him as well, but able to get out of the way in time. That one was going to hit high on the shoulder, not one you want to take.
Definitely not. And he's got that protective piece that covers the chin on the batting helmet as well, which is the new norm as far as baseball at any level is concerned. Here's the 2-1 delivery from the righty. This is low for ball three. And now Seitz is going to have to just get one down Broadway, or at least get a swing and a miss. Try and get him to chase one off the edge. Push that count to three balls and two strikes. Does not want to walk in a run, especially the first run of the ball game. Here's the 3-1 delivery from the righty Seitz, and the base is loaded. Time called by the home plate umpire, or by Ayers, rather, granted by the home plate umpire. Now digging back in is the left-hand hitting Ayers. Runners take their leads from first, second, and third. Here in the scoreless bottom of the second, the 3-1 delivery is chopped toward the first baseman. Gathers, picked it, he's going to go home, gets the force there. Blankenship is out, everyone else is going to be safe. The bases remain loaded. And there it was. Westbrook going home to Mason for the force. Erased is Blankenship on the 3-2 play. Two outs now after Ayers reaches on the fielder's choice. That will bring up Preston Conklin, who singled his first time up, then stole second and third before he was stranded 90 feet away. He's one of three hits tonight for the 45s.
Yeah, that's arguably the best-case scenario there for the Fairfield Indians. Obviously, the double play would have been the most beneficial, but able to gun down the man at home, as this one's called strike, right down the heart of the zone on Conklin for 0-1. But definitely did a great job just staying alive there, but also the base is still loaded for the Colt 45, so job not finished yet.
Right-hand batter in Conklin. It's the 0-1 with shadows covering all of the field now. Breaking ball drops it in there on the inside corner right at the knees. And now the rally for the 45s might not even be a scenario as the bases are loaded with two outs and an 0-2 count on Preston Conklin. Sights, kicks, and deals. Break ball foul tipped and held on by the catcher Mason, and the side is retired. Sights pitches his way out of the jam with traffic on the bases. The 45s strand three after two complete. We're still scoreless here at Tiger Field.
Tonight's Reading Colt 45s game is sponsored by Mentor Community Services. At Mentor Community Services, every person we serve is unique with skills, strength, and their own vision for their lives. We work with each individual and their circle of support to create a plan of service that works best for them. Stop by today at 696 Azalea Avenue or call at 530-221-9911. That's 530-221-9911.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency Program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Gold Leaf Nursery is open and has been serving Shasta County growers since 1975 and going strong. Have you noticed all the different colors of crepe myrtles blooming? We have several varieties and colors. Dwarf size, semi-dwarf, up to full size to choose from. And right now, they're on sale and drought tolerant. It's a great time to buy. Gold Leaf Nursery carries a large selection of water-wise shrubs and trees. Our summer sale is on now. 20% off all gallon and 15-gallon shrubs and trees. 25% off all 25-gallon trees. Need fast-growing trees, 3 to 4 feet per year, drought-tolerant? We have Polyanthemos Silver Dollar and Weeping Willows. Great for screening or fast shade. Don't miss the 20% off sale going on all summer long. Come check out Gold Leaf Nursery on Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road in Dersh, across from Club Tucker Golf Course.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency Program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
A.J. Ricker, the right-hand batter, swings and misses with the 0-1 count quickly in an 0-2 hole. Second baseman and then the DH Hutchins and the catcher Mason do up to face off against Sheriff. Sheriff comes set from the third base side. Kicks and deals the 0-2 out of the stretch. It's swung on and missed. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. That is out number one and strikeout number four for Sheriff. Now to take you the rest of the way through the third and fourth inning. Here's Spencer.
Thank you, Jacob. Yeah, Sheriff so far, this Colt 45's defense still flawless so far, clean through the order. Keep that going as it is going to be the designated hitter now, batting eighth in Sean Hutchins. His first at-bat for the night. And that's all he'll be doing tonight as of now as the designated hitter, the right-handed batter. Nobody on as he'll take this first one, swing and a miss. For strike number one, 0-1 count here. And again, Sheriff has looked really good, no command issues whatsoever. Hitting his spots and with high octane as well. A lot of these Fairfield Indian batters, as they've entered the box, have just been a little bit behind all of his pitches. This one, this is just high to even up the count. 1-1.
Yeah, and Sheriff tonight, again, the command, it's there. The movement, the velocity, it's all just clicking for him in his final start of the summer season for sure.
Absolutely. The left-handed pitcher is definitely in the zone here. Here's the 1-1. Swung on and missed again. That fastball is really not, no one's even come close to touching it, really. That one hits the bottom of the zone, but just under it was Hutchins. 1-2 now.
Even when they're on time with it, it's just
right.
They're missing it. You know, they're either on top of it or under it.
Here's the 1-2. This is just high to even up the count. A close one there. So two balls, two strikes, one out. Nobody on in this scoreless top of the third inning. And scoreless ball game at that. As Joey Mason, the final batter on deck here. This one's chopped down low by Hutchins, and it's going to get fouled back into the parking lot here at Tiger Field. The lights have not been switched on yet, but before this third inning is over, I'd have to assume. Getting to make its descent, full descent is the sun, and shade now covering all Tiger Field. Here's a 2-2. Got him looking. Hits the top end of the zone there for strike number two, and now the opportunity to go through the entire order in the first three innings. It is going to be Nate Sheriff versus Joey Mason, who is used to being in that dirt there around the circle as he's playing catcher tonight on the defensive side of things for the Indians.
Yeah, the fifth strikeout for Sheriff, and he's just been, I mean, disgusting stuff all through the lineup so far as he faces. He'll finish off his first time through the order here as the lights come on. Long ways away from taking full effect.
Just in time for that called strike as well. As we expect nothing less now from Nate Sheriff, the way he's been playing so far. And again, to reiterate, five strikeouts of the night, three looking, two swinging. He's got a pair here in the third, looking to go through the order all on strikes, and that's another one. Now an 0-2 count, an opportunity to retire the whole side via the K in just about 11 pitches. No balls, two strikes, two outs, nobody on. Nate Sheriff looking for punch out number six in the third of the inning here. Here's the 0-2. This is just high and a close one there, bringing the count to one ball and two strikes. Just building up the suspense and the excitement the umpire is now. Again, just clean bases for the defense for the Colt 45s. This one's fouled back, and we'll do it again. It'll remain one ball and two strikes.
Sheriff in his last start versus NBO Sacramento. That was back on July 18th. Four innings, three hits, one run. It was earned, two walks, and had five strikeouts. He's already matched that tonight through almost three innings.
And with this pitch pending, it could be strikeout number six. Here it is, swung on high. It's going to stay fair. Possibly it's going to end up in foul territory. But able to make the squeeze as third baseman Caballero, and that will retire the side through the order through three innings. Go the Colt 45, or go the Fairfield Indians via Nate Sheriff and the Colt 45's defense behind him. We are still scoreless through the top three.
At Mentor Community Services, every person we serve is unique with skills, strengths, and their own vision for their life. We get to know each person so we can understand their needs and the goals they want to reach. We work with the individual and the circle of support to create a plan of service that works for them. That's California Mentor Community Services. They are at 696 Azalea Avenue here in Redding, California. You can give them a call at 530-221-9911.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Sell your home the easy way. Pick the price, pick the dates, and call Josh Barker, Real Estate.
Hey, all my friends in Redding and Shasta County, it's your friend Gary Lavox here of Rascal Flats. And the best part about touring is seeing amazing places like Redding or Shasta County. Fantastic people like my friend Josh Barker and Josh Barker Real Estate. Josh offers more options than anyone else, and he can prove it. See for yourself at his website and check out his hundreds of five-star reviews. Josh Barker Real Estate is approaching 25 years in the business and helped over 9,000 families buy or sell a home just like yours. Josh Barker Real Estate only hires full-time experienced agents to work with you every step of the way. If you want to make the most money selling your home on time, just remember,
sell your home the easy way. Pick the price, pick the date, and call Josh Barker Real Estate.
Hello fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California, as on the first pitch will be safe, actually. Is Caballero has just missed an opportunity for the 5-3 putout. A long throw down the line for Bo Smith on that first pitch swinging from Caballero and able to find the glove of first baseman
Larry Westbrook, but not able to keep it, not able to corral it. So safe at first there is Caballero, and it could be arguably an E3 there. This one, Westbrook might not be able to escape. Definitely a tough play to make there, leaning off the bag, but hit the glove, and it was in the glove, but just not able to hold on to it. Caballero with a hard 90 to get on first. And now Andrew Mora, the left-handed batter in this scoreless ball game, is up to the plate for his second opportunity, as this one misses down low and kicks off the foot, I believe, of the catcher. And getting another free 90 feet is going to be Caballero. He'll be at second now off that wild pitch that carries off the back stop. So one ball, no strike now. Andrew Mora struck out swinging back in the first inning. He's got an opportunity to make up for that. The left-handed batter has hit really well this season, looking to continue that here tonight in the farewell campaign, or farewell series, rather, of the campaign. This one swung on foul.
And just to circle back to that play by the third baseman, not only a great play on the backhand, back behind the third base bag, he had a hair of time, a fraction of time,
right,
to get his feet set a little bit more, stay through the baseball, stay loaded on that lower half, make a strong throw to first, end up going a little bit off target. It was a great adjustment by Westbrook to take a step back off the first base bag, push off with the right foot, foul territory side, try and get to the baseball, just couldn't quite cleanly corral it and pick it. And again, that's why we've talked about it a bunch this season. Investing in a first baseman can save you so much, and now you have a runner in scoring position with nobody out, and now a 3-1 count on Mora.
I believe it is a 2-1 count. I think we just got word from the umpire as well, just some scoreboard difficulties. I think we're looking at 2 balls and 1 strike. Nobody out with the runner on second.
Just corrected on the scoreboard as well. That's a great heads up by you, Spence.
And big swing and a miss there coming from Mora. And that will even up the count. 2 balls, 2 strikes as he just swings at a low one there coming from Sates.
That was a beautiful just 12-6 curve. Might have been more of a slider. It's just the horizontal movement is what got Mora right there. Just a beautiful breaking ball that got him to chase.
And the Indians were able to escape the last inning where they had bases loaded on multiple occasions, but no runners came across, so feeling confident here as this one swung on and fouled back by Mora. We'll do it again. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Still scoreless here in the bottom of the third inning, but in scoring position with no outs is Nicholas Caballero. Off that hard-earned single, and then that wild pitch allowed him to advance 90 more feet and into scoring position for the Colt 45s. On deck as well as Tyler Zanheiser. So he'll get an opportunity to swing the bat here, the bottom of the third. So this one misses low, and it will fill up the count. And for just the second time tonight, we have a full count and a payoff pitch.
Yeah, and it's been against Caballero and Mora, the 3 and 4 hitters, which arguably typically your best hitters.
They've done a good job just staying in the fight here, and they can both be on base here after this pitch. We'll see. Here's Seitz, deliver, swing, and a miss. And maybe I cursed him there. Andrew Mora, back-to-back strikeout, swinging. Not seeing it quite like he'd want to so far tonight, but a lot of ball left to play.
Yeah, just pulled on that breaking ball, and the starter last night had a disgusting sweeping slider. That was Kai Kazumi, and he was mixing it with a fastball that went about 80-82. And it was the strikeout pitch last night. It's so far the breaking ball has been the strikeout pitch tonight as well for this one, as it's hit in the air towards center.
Giving chase to it back and not able to make the play. Zanheiser is now going to hold at second, but coming home is Caballero, and he will be safe. And that is how the scoring will open here at the bottom of the third, on a rope from Tyler Zanheiser. Giving chase was Kamon Lake, just over his head about 390 feet. Pretty much out anywhere else in the ballpark, I'd say, all the way back towards the warning track. But a stand-up double for Tyler Zanheiser, and that is how the scoring will open here tonight.
Yeah, deepest part of the yard, got the second on it. The runner at second, Caballero, he had to wait for that ball to drop because the center fielder, Kamon Lake, circling, trying to make an over-the-shoulder catch, ended up not getting around the baseball, landed to his left, made a great job of adjusting to it, picked it up off the grass, made a strong throw in, but it was bobbled by the cutoff man, Hunter, and that was what allowed Caballero to score. That slight blunder, this one's shot foul off the screen on the first base side.
Yeah, hard hit foul ball there coming from Wade Hutchins.
Just a little bit late on that fastball. Or early, rather.
And Hutchins tonight, second at bat for the designated hitter. Yeah, nothing to take away from the attempt that
center fielder Lake took. There, out in deep center, but Zanheiser on a rope on that first pitch swinging.
I mean, that ball, it hit right to the screws. There's no other way to say it. You can hear it by the sound.
As this one's fouled out again into the parking lot. So now 1-2 count in favor of Wade Hutchings still, or in favor of Seitz, rather. But Hutchings still alive, got an opportunity to get on base here as he hit to short his last at-bat in the second inning. One ball, two strikes, one out. In a 1-0 ball game, the Colt 45s now lead thanks to the RBI double from Tyler Zanheiser. And now in a pickle is going to be Zanheiser, and thrown out at third is going to be Zanheiser for out number two.
Yeah, that's just a tough break. A whirl and a bluff from Seitz, and then decide to walk off the mound right at Zanheiser, who was caught between second and third. Thought he was going to try and get back to second. He was a little bit closer toward that second base bag, but decided to try for three. The pitcher charged toward third and then flipped to the third baseman in time for the 1-5 put out. Now quickly, two away.
Yeah, and two balls, two strikes. Zanheiser did his job and not able to stay on base and in scoring position. Open the scoring tonight, though, for Nicholas Caballero to come around and the Colt 45s. Two balls, two strikes, two outs, and now this one misses down in the dirt. It will be yet another full count, and a payoff pitch is pending.
Yeah, and on the second trip through the order, Seitz a little bit more sloppy.
And got him, rung him up, turning away from it was Hutchings, but a strike nonetheless, and that will retire the side. So the Colt 45s score one on a pair of hits, but quickly comes to a halt. They lead 1-0 through three innings here tonight.
Tonight's game is sponsored by Mentor Community Services, where for the past 40 years, programs have helped people with disabilities, mental health challenges, and other needs to build the skills and positive relationships they need to live full, joyful lives. That's California Mentor Community Services at 530-221-9911.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Surround me like a waterfall. And there's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you right now.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. We are in the top of the fourth inning. The Colt 45s lead by a score of 1-0, and it's going to be the top of the lineup for just the second at-bat here tonight. Ethan Boatman for the Fairfield Indians, who will face off for the second time against Nate Sheriff. Nate Sheriff got the best of him last time, and Andrew Moore did it as well, as Boatman had the best opportunity to get on base here for the Fairfield Indians so far to lead off the night about an hour ago. But a great play on that down that first base line by Andrew Moore, able to snag that ball out of the air, which probably 9 times out of 10 would have been a base hit. Now in the top of the fourth, 1-0 the Colt 45's lead. Nate Sheriff looking to keep his hot streak going as this one misses just high for ball one.
Yeah, and Sheriff has pitched he's had a great outing so far as he enters the fourth inning here at Tiger.
Lefty Sheriff misses another one high here. Maybe just the first little bit of fatigue and command issues coming from Sheriff here early in the fourth inning. It's still just a 1-0 ball game. The Colt 45s have dominated as far as almost every statistical category, but just leading by one in the most important category, that is score. But it could be worse. They could be down. Here's the 2-0 called ball, and Sheriff with a little confusion there. Thought that one was definitely hitting the zone for a called strike, but 3-0 count now. and a threat of the first Fairfield Indian to reach the base, whether it be via the walk or the baseball bat here on a hit.
And a 3-0 count, Sheriff just needs to deliver a strike as he misses upstairs for a 4-pitch walk to lead things off here in the fourth.
Yeah, and just starting off in that 2-0 hole is unfortunate. That third pitch, still not entirely sure where that one missed, but all of them hitting roughly the same spot, that third and fourth one, and that first and second just missed a little high. So now it's going to be Caleb Morant up for the first opportunity for the Fairfield Indians tonight to get some runs across as they have a runner on now. And they could actually take the lead here with just one swing of the bat. And got him on the pickoff attempt there from Nate Sheriff, and a little strut off the mound, and a little bit of talk there from him. And a great pickoff attempt, and it was successful. Great job there by both Sheriff and Mora. So he was on for about half of one pitch, not even a tenth of an at bat.
Yeah, he enjoyed that little just a quick little overnight stay over there at first base.
There you go.
Just a rental, and Sheriff with a quick move. I mean, that was a great step from the lefty, which is again talked about. I'll break it down. Again, but when you're on first base and you're taking a lead, or any base, you know the pitcher's going to make a move on over based on the back foot. When you're a lefty, it's a little bit easier as this one's hit in the air toward right center, playable for Zanheiser into a dive. Squeeze it up the alley. It's going to go by him, actually. He missed it. Just barely rounding second. Headed for third to throw the cutoff. Throw on a hop tag applied by Caballero, and he's out of there. Zanheiser had everyone fooled. Not slowing down, and then tagged out at third on the outfield assist. Center to short to third. What a relay from the 45s.
Absolutely incredible. Yeah, I think Zanheiser lost his hat, and it made it look like that ball was bounded in the glove, and then just tearing back behind the hat all the way to the ball, or all the way to the wall, rather. And then, obviously, the throw coming from Timmy Ayers in right all the way to short, and then the short on a hop and making the tag and the put out from Caballero. That was incredible speed from Caleb Morant, who I will say, as this one's fouled back from Bo Smith for strike one. But the Colt 45's defense is playing with some passion and some fire tonight, and we'd love to see it.
Yeah, 9-6-5 on the play. The right fielder Ayers recovered it. I thought Zanheiser snared it, and then I got the motion from you, Spencer. That went under him somehow. Just
he was
barely didn't take
so
it off the grass.
Close, but Emily sees. As this one's called strike two, there we go. And now Sheriff an opportunity to keep that streak of strikeouts in each inning going.
And the relay of Ayers to Conklin to Caballero. Just a quick cutoff throw from Conklin. That was phenomenal stuff from the shortstop.
A 9-6-5 put out from the wall in deep right center. Absolutely incredible as this one misses, not entirely sure where, but it'll be a 1-2 count now regardless. And that was, again, incredible speed from Caleb Morant. He's safe 9 times out of 10 there for sure based off the situation in place, but Conklin on the hop from Ayers again, and Caballero able to pick it up off the ground as this one's fouled back.
And he hit the bag at second. He hit sixth gear. That was insane.
Yes, absolutely.
That was some great speed, because that ball, it was on the screws, didn't hang up too long in the air. He was already between first and second when that ball was about to hit the grass. He was turning and burning.
One ball, two strikes, two outs after all that. Nobody on. Colt 45 still lead 1-0 here in the top of the fourth. Opportunity here from the lefty Sheriff. Swing and a miss, and that will retire the side. The Colt 45s finally allowed one on, but they emerged unscathed in just a few seconds that runner was on as well. Colt 45s lead 1-0. Again, thanks to some great defense from Nate Sheriff and his teammates behind him.
One individual may want to live in a host home and live life as part of their caregiver's family. Another person may thrive in one of our exciting day programs. Whatever the person's needs and goals, our caring team is here to help them grow and live well with Mentor Community Services at 696 Azalea Avenue here in Redding, California. Give them a call at 530-221-9911.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency Program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Hey neighbors, have you ever wondered where you can find a store that truly feels like home? Well, look no further. Grange Co-op has been community-focused since 1934, and guess what? We're not just a store, we're owned by customers just like you. Yep, that's right, it's all about community here. So why choose Grange Co-op? When you shop with us, you're not just supporting a store, you're supporting a community. Grange Co-op has what you need for your home, garden, pets, and farm. Grange Co-op, where the values of yesterday meet the needs of today.
Hello, fans. Welcome back to Reading, California. We are at Tiger Field here in a 1-0 ball game that the Colt 45s lead. It is going to be Bradley Blankenship, the left fielder tonight, up for the Colt 45s. First pitch swinging is going to find first baseman, but it's going to bounce off his chest. Westbrook not able to keep it there. That will surely be an E3, and reaching first is going to be Blankenship on that first pitch swinging. Again, right down that first base line. It takes a weird hop, but Westbrook, not able to keep that in front of him, or he does, but it not able to glove that one, hits him in the chest, and you can see the frustration from him there. And Blankenship will get that 90 feet thanks to him. And now it is going to be left-handed batter Roman Brown for his second attempt here tonight. He singled back in the second inning down that first base line as well, if I'm not mistaken, and he ended up getting stranded on second back in that second inning. So runner on first showing buck here is Brown as this one's fouled back, and we'll do it again. 0-1 count.
And also, just to circle back to that outfield assist, that was, in fact, the first hit of the ball game for the Indians. It took them 3 1/3 plus to get to that point. The 11th batter of the ball game for them. And, again, just testament to Sheriff tonight and his outing.
Yeah, absolutely. And the defense behind him, again, just absolutely rinsing. There was Caleb Moran. He feels like he got really unlucky there. That's one of the best plays I've seen out here at Tiger Field as far as team play. Back behind Nate Harris himself.
Yeah, and that's very hard to do. A relay throw all the way from right center field, that's just
third
base. That is the longest you're going to throw the ball, for the most part.
Absolutely. 0-1 down, we had one pickoff attempt, and now we're getting time from the pitcher on the mound. It's still Ben Sates for his fourth inning of work. There's one runner out, one run allowed on 5 hits. My apologies.
Say that 10 minutes.
But, yeah, absolutely. But still losing the ball game here as of right now. Just 1-0 score. The Colt 45's lead in one of the slower games we've seen so far. Not time-wise, since this one's going to get hit by Rowan Brown for a nice stand-up single into shallow center field, right over the infield. And now another runner in scoring position is going to be Blankenship. So a pair on board here for the Colt 45's, an opportunity for Deegan Paulos to do what he did last time and bring some runners around.
Yeah,
and possibly get him to score as well.
A couple of hits tonight now for Rowan Brown.
Yeah, absolutely. Back-to-back singles there for Brown. And he will get the courtesy runner in Tyler Jones again, it looks like. Just so he can get his gear on there in the dugout as he is playing behind the dish
the
tonight.
The tools of ignorance as coined by Yogi Berra.
There you go. No outs away. Runners on first and second. We've been here before, though. Sykes has found his way out. And a great bunt there from Paulos, but an opportunity to get one out, it will be Paulos' out, but he advances each runner 90 feet, just bunts off that first pitch, and giving chase to it with Sykes, and he checked third, wasn't going to get there in time, checked second, wasn't going to get there in time, and finally makes his way around to Paulos, and it looked like for a second they're all going to be safe, but makes a good 1-3 put out for out number one.
And that was a great job by the pitcher Sykes.
Right, I agree.
He moved his feet, moved his shoulders toward every bag, did so quickly, and then made the strong throw to first, got it there in time for the 1-3 put out. Out number one, get the out where you can. And that was a great job by the pitcher. He looked for the out at third to get the lead runner, just wasn't quite there. Didn't have enough daylight to make the throw over.
Yeah, and a solid job by Paulos as well, just laying that one down. As this one's getting fouled back just over our heads and probably right towards a group of fans and right off the tents.
Off the tents and then rode the top of the fence. That's first.
Off the tents and on the fence. There we go.
All I thought of was John Miller's call of Nate Shearholtz. It's off the top of the wall. That's in like 2011 NLCS against the St. Louis Cardinals. You were what, like 8?
maybe younger.
Maybe I was eight.
All right, Unc. All right, Owens out here, one out away. Runners on second, third, two in scoring position for the Colt 45s here. And it's going to be Timmy Ayers, top of the lineup, third at bat for the night. He's struck out looking and reached via the fielder's choice as we get called time from, not entirely sure who.
Yeah, I think Ayers called time.
So dig back into the box here with the green batting gloves. Love to see that. Something unique on the white jerseys, white pants with the yellow sleeves for the Colt 45s tonight.
Yeah, the bright green Bruce Bolt.
There you go.
Looks batting kinda gloves.
Hulk colors a little bit. With that dark green.
Dr. Doom colors?
There you go. As this one misses inside to even up the count, one ball and one strike. So one out away. No one on first, but runners both on second and third. So a big opportunity to avoid the double play, hit down that right side, and possibly bring runners around to score. If not multiple, maybe just one. But again, Ayers on the night, you have to get a hit, but he's reached once via the fielder's choice. Struck out looking to open the bottom of the first, open the game offensively for the Colts. Here's the 1-1 coming from sight, swung on hard, and it's going to hit roughly the same spot, same tent more or less. It will be foul, and now one ball and two strikes. Ayers now trying to avoid the strikeout.
The outfield shifted toward left, even with the left hand batting. Ayers to the plate as the bat boy Edward brings some fresh baseballs out to the home plate umpire. And that's where you're kind of seeing where the pitcher Ben Seitz is pitching Timmy Ayers. He's pitching him more outside, and Ayers has been a little bit later on. He's trying to push it toward that left field line, get it down, rather than an inside pitch and turn on it, pull it through the huge gap between the first baseman and second baseman, in between the first and second base bag.
Right. And though we've talked a lot about Nate Sheriff, this one swung and skips off the mound, an opportunity to make the play, and it will be a 6-3 put out there, but bringing a run across in the RBI is going to be Timmy Ayers. 6-3 put out for out number two, but coming around to score is Bradley Blankenship, and moving on to third base, just 90 feet from home now is Rowan Brown. So Colt 45 is now lead by a score of 2-0 in the bottom of the fourth here. Two outs away, and it's going to be Preston Conklin, who has reached via single and struck out swinging so far tonight in the first and second innings.
That was a great job by Ayers to get the job done. You don't want to hit it toward third just because they can either look the runner back or apply the tag. Did a great job. It wasn't to the right side of the infield, but you'll take it as it was up the middle. And a great play by the shortstop as well, gliding to his left, waved at in the dirt by Conklin for strike one. Now with the runner at third.
Yeah. Zero balls, one strike now, runner on third, two outs away in the bottom of the fourth. Colt 45's lead, Fairfield Indians 2-0. And the Indians won the game last night, so. And again, just back to what I was about to say before that RBI came in, as this one misses low to even the count 1-1. I know we've talked a lot about Nate Sheriff tonight here at Tiger Field, but also with five strikeouts is Ben Seitz. Seitz for the Fairfield Indians. They both got five to their name through four innings, which is really impressive. And swung on hard here by Conklin. Again, back to shortstop. A great play. And a 6-3 putout will retire the sides. The Colt 45s score one, but also strand one here in the bottom of the fourth inning. We'll be heading to the fifth inning where your Colt 45s lead. Score of 2-0.
For the past 40 years, Mentor Community Services has helped people with disabilities, mental health challenges, and other needs to build the skills and positive relationships they need to live full, joyful lives. If you have any questions or want to reach out, they're at 696 Azalea Avenue here in Redding, California, or you can give them a call at 530-221-9911.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Tell your home the easy way. Pick the price, pick the dates, and call Scott Barker, Real Estate.
Hey, I'm
my friends in Redding and Shasta County, it's your friend Gary Lavox here of Rascal Flats. And the best part about touring is seeing amazing places like Redding or Shasta County. Fantastic people like my friend Josh Barker and Josh Barker Real Estate. Josh offers more options than anyone else, and he can prove it. See for yourself at his website and check out his hundreds of five-star reviews. Josh Barker Real Estate is approaching 25 years in the business and helped over 9,000 families buy or sell a home just like yours. Josh Barker Real Estate only hires full-time experienced agents to work with you every step of the way. If you want to make the most money selling your home on time, just remember,
sell your home the easy way. Pick the price, pick the dates, and call Josh Barker Real Estate.
Hello, fans, and welcome out to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. The Colt 45s lead 2-0 in the top of the fifth inning. Due up for the Fairfield Indians is Larry Westbrook, followed by Jaden Hunter and Timone Lake. The heart of this lineup, and to take you the rest of the way through this fifth inning, is Jacob Green.
Thank you, Spencer. Westbrook takes a called strike one as the third base coach, I believe, Prejean Bynum, makes his way out to the third base coach's box in between pitches. Here's the 0-1 from Sheriff, hitting the air toward left. Playable possibly for Blankenship, drifting back, and he'll squeeze it for out number one, giving it a ride, but not quite enough to push it out over the fence, is Larry Westbrook. That is out number one. Jaden Hunter to the plate now, who K'd his last time up.
Yeah, good contact there from Westbrook as well. Looked like for a second that was going to carry all the way out to the wall, and it was probably not too far short, 15, 20 feet short of that wall, but giving good chase to it, again, was left fielder Blankenship, yeah, able to make the squeeze.
Right in front of the warning track out there, just a little too under it for Westbrook, but he definitely barreled that baseball as this one's fouled back to the screen. Almost, yeah, almost bounced off of Hunter's head, who's unfazed.
That is a good thing, though. That's proof that that's a tight net there, keep protecting the fans here. Which seems like yesterday there was a little mishap there with the netting back here at Tiger Field, as you mentioned.
I was going to say there were three batters for Fairfield that lost their bats on their swings. That's just, you need a little bit more pine tar on there, but
yeah.
Derek Robinson, a right-hand batter, it went through the netting and landed up in the bleacher seats as this one's fouled off the catcher and then the umpire for strike two. They'll both wear that one. It went through the netting, knob first, so not the barrel end of the bat, the smaller end of the bat, shot through the netting somehow, and the chances of that happening are, I mean, very, very slim. It has to be straight, straight as an arrow to get through there. Evenly like that, and then it carried him toward the bleachers, and thankfully no one was injured or hit with the bat. Now the 0-2 delivery to the right-hand batting, Jaden Hunter. Sheriff kicks, deals just a bit low. It was over below.
And I respect the hesitance in your voice there, because I thought the same thing. It was definitely a close call.
Thought that was going to be a punch-out.
Right.
Earlier in the ballgame, it definitely would have been. Here's the 1-2. It's chopped toward the second baseman. Paulo's charging, waiting for that secondary hop. Reaches above his shoulders to squeeze it for the 4-3 putout as he flips it to Mora on the first base bag in time as Timone Lake will step to the plate and flew out to center his first time up. Sunset all around us in a panoramic view as the lights are on and they've taken full effect here at Tiger Field. On a beautiful night for baseball, 2-0 here in the top of the fifth inning.
And I would say,
and Spencer Slingy here with you.
And I would say, no worries. I would say the most peaceful night out here at Tiger Field I've had as far as calling games. There's been no wind whatsoever. Just clear skies, no clouds in the sky, just nice and calm. It has been a hot one for sure, but
yes,
as the sun has made its descent, it's finally cooled off a little bit.
Started off at 102, and it's dropped down to 96. Here's a 0-1 breaking ball, misses up and away. And, yeah, no wind, but my first summer out here, it was 115, 120 routinely. And last summer, a little bit more mild.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I feel like this summer's had a good mix of both. I feel like it's been really hot days, but it's really cooled off out here at the ballpark as of late. Once the sun goes down, it really just, it's perfect ball weather, I'd say.
I would agree. 2-1 after this last pitch missed.
But I do remember that summer of 24. My goodness.
Blistering.
Could not escape the heat.
Now the 2-1. Swing! And a foul tip held on by the catcher, Rowan Brown, for strike two. Yeah, and last year it was sitting 110, 115. Year before that, there was cancellations because it got above 120, which is just insane. Now the 2-2 delivery from Sheriff. We're in the top of the fifth inning of a 2-0 ball game. Fouled up and away toward the parking lot. And we'll do it again. Then two balls and two strikes.
I think that one landed, like, right in between four different cars. Not even lying. Like, perfectly in between them. So, feeling a little bit lucky out there in the parking lot. Which is where I park, of course. We all park in the parking lot. You gotta gamble. You gotta take your best bet.
Now the 2-2 in the dirt lays off his leg. That'll fill the count. Yeah, always very wary of where I park.
Yeah.
Make sure to park far away and at the right angle and everything.
And unfortunately, no valet parking for us up here in the booth.
That's no valet or
not as yet, at least.
One day. Here's the payoff from Sheriff. Misses upstairs for ball four. And the inning will continue for Fairfield as they now have the tying run at the plate yet again for the second or third time tonight now. And it is A.J. Ricker to the plate. The second baseman who struck out swinging is first time up. He's one of six strikeout victims, for Mr. Sheriff, and it will be a pinch hitter for Mr. Rickle. And once we get that name to you, once we get the name, we'll get it to you, rather. So, pinch hitter here, it's the number 21 for Fairfield. Sheriff checks the runner at first, kicks and deals, a fastball in the inside corner for a called strike one.
And again, Sheriff, little to no command issues so far. Obviously, he just walked someone, but is on the full count as well. So he's done a great job of just finding his zone and hitting his spots well, and people haven't been able to keep up for the most part. Again, just one hit on the night, and that hit actually was thrown out on that same play, but obviously going for the triple is evident of that.
Yeah, now there's 0-1 up and away. Yeah, now you see just the discipline on the base pass here from Lake. Might be a little bit different from what he's seen from some of his teammates
right
out there. He looks like he has speed out there. He's got a moderate lead over there. First up being held on by Moore. A move back to first is not in time. Diving back with the right hand to the back side of the bag. Although Kaz is to the plate for A.J. Ricker. Now Sheriff steps back on the mound. One ball and one strike. Checks the runner at first. About 3.5 steps off the bag. The 1-1 up and away. Two balls and one strike now. On the right-hand batting, Aldo Kaz, who's pinch hitting for the second baseman, A.J. Ricker. There's the 2-1. This is up high, up near the letters for ball three. Some great discipline here from the pinch hitter, Kaz.
Yeah, and I will say when Sheriff has missed, it's been high and just barely. He's had a lot of close calls here, and I think most of them have favored him, especially like with two strikes. But now he's just a little bit high.
3-1 is fouled back to the screen to fill the count up. Three balls and two strikes. The battle continues between Kaz and Sheriff. And, yeah, I would agree with that, Spencer. Just the elevating it a little bit too much, maybe
right,
trying to draw a swing and miss, but also just hoping for the belt high call. And
yeah.
Got to get a little bit lower into the zone sometimes, not up near the letters.
This will be back-to-back full counts here for Sheriff. See if he can win this one.
And the runner will be breaking on the play. Here's the payoff with two outs. Is a line shot up the middle and through for a base hit. Turning at second, headed toward third. The throw from Zanheiser is going to be cut off. Diving into third, and safe there without a throw is Kimone Lake. And Aldo Akaz comes through with a base hit in the pinch hitting endeavor, and that will bring up Sean Hutchins.
Yeah, and it was right back at the face of Nate Sheriff there. Almost put some teeth out. That was a close one. Able to duck and get out of the way of that, but not one you could even react in time. As he's finishing his round off, coming off the mound, obviously, throwing that fast that hard, your body's going to still kind of gravitate that way, and the ball just coming right back at him, just able to throw a glove up and get out of the way.
And now Ben Seitz is going to pinch hit for Hutchins here in this DH spot, which is now technically the pitcher spot. So Fairfield throwing some just throwing some different stuff at the 45s.
Yeah, now runners on the corners with two outs away. An opportunity here for the Fairfield Indians to get the job done. As we have a quick meeting on the mound with Bob Anderson.
Yeah, Bob Anderson's going to go out there, talk things over with his infield. There's two outs. P.J. Bynum's going to come talk to his offense, I think. And the home plate umpire. But a fly out, a ground out, and then a walk, and then a single, and all of a sudden runners at the corner, so the tying run is aboard, and the go-ahead run at the plate. As Ben Seitz will be to the plate. Ben Seitz homered last night. So far in this ball game, he's gone four innings of work against these 45s, allowing two runs. It is Ben Seitz to the plate. There was some talk amongst P.J. Bynum and PA announcer Chad Johnson. Does a phenomenal job out here at Tiger Field, just making sure they have the names right. This pinch hitting roll right here as Bob Anderson makes his way back to the dugout and everyone goes back to their respective spaces and places.
And play ball, the umpire says. We're back into it here.
We're back underway. Runners at the corners with two outs. Here in a 2-0 top of the fifth. Ben Seitz, left-hand batter. Here's the pitch from Sheriff. Misses low for ball one. Chaz on first, Lake on third. Sheriff comes set from the third base side. Mora holding on the runner at first, the 1-0. Ooh. This is way inside. Turning away from it with Seitz for ball two. This is where Sheriff needs to be careful.
Yeah, again, I think more than anything, just the fatigue slightly kicking in now for him.
Working from that third base side. And this left-on-left matchup. Here's the 2-0 delivery. Quick move back to first and back half standing up, half diving in is the Kaz.
A little crawl back to first there.
Yeah, just a little
slow motion.
Quick little lunge.
There you go, yeah.
Runners will take their leads. The 2-0. This is way inside for ball three. And Sheriff trying to do his best to keep that tying run at first very close to first. Don't want him to be able to score on an extra base hit if it's anything hit toward the gap. With two outs, you just need now to be done with this inning. Pitch out of the traffic. Here's the 3-0. Drops it in there on the inside corner for a called strike one.
Yeah.
Sheriff with some applause.
Yeah, he needed that one as well. You can tell just for the confidence, a little exhale there from them after that called strike, and I think from the crowd as well, just finding himself again here. Got an opportunity to avoid that walk.
Now the 3-1 is in on the hands, a little flare toward the second baseman. Paulos charging in, will squeeze it for the out, and the side is retired. Sheriff's pitches his way out of the jam and gets the short pop out as we're halfway through our ball game tonight. After 4.5, it's the Colt 45's 2. And the Fairfield Indians, nothing.
Tonight's Colt 45's game is sponsored by Mentor Community Services. For the past 40 years, Mentor Community Service programs have helped people with disabilities, mental health challenges, and other needs to build the skills and positive relationships they need to live full and joyful lives. Stop by today at 696 Azalea Avenue or call at 530-221-9911. That's 530-221-9911.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300 a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Caballero will be followed up by Mora and Zanizer here in this bottom of the fifth inning. Face off against the righty Sykes. Here in a 2-0 bottom of the fifth. First pitch from Sykes is waved at for strike one. It's breaking ball down. Now the 0-1 delivery from Sykes out of the windup, swung on and foul tip, held on. Sykes now pitching out of the windup. An 0-2 count on Caballero. Right-hand batter up in the box, or deep in the box, rather, up toward the plate. Here's the 0-2 from Sykes. Breaking ball is a line shot over the leaping third baseman down in the left field for a base hit. Caballero, a wide turn at first, but a hole there with a single. As Andrew Mora will step to the plate, it's played back quickly by Morant. As Caballero starts off this fifth inning with a leadoff single. And that will bring up Mora, who struck out twice tonight, both times swinging, rocking the socks up high for the 6'4" left-handed first baseman. Is the first pitch to Mora from Ben Sykes out of the stretch with the runner on first being held on by Westbrook. Right in there for a called strike one. Look at a little change up, the off speed.
Yeah. Again, both pitchers tonight have played so clean there on the mound as far as limiting the walks and getting a bunch of strikeouts and not even allowing many hits as well. Actually, just one walk allowed on the night, but also hit one batter was Ben Sykes so far through four innings and working on his fifth now. So really impressive stuff on the mound from both sides tonight.
Quick move back to first is not in time. Diving back is Caballero. Yeah, all around impressive stuff from the pitching side of things. A lot of strikeouts, solid command, lots of swing and misses in general. Move back to first again, tag applied. Not in time. It's a bang-bang play over there at first, and now second base awarded.
Definitely thought he could have got him there if he was willing to gamble 90 feet. That was a double-or-nothing kind of play there to make pickoff attempt there from Sykes.
Yeah, after two disengagements.
You see a little smile and chuckle from him as well. Maybe he didn't remember that, or maybe he really thought he was going to get him there.
And that isn't a normal baseball thing, by the way. That's
right.
A ground rule of Tiger Field specifically. So, yeah, Ben Sykes, which the meeting at the home plate before the game starts, that's what all that is about. Going over the ground rules, make sure everyone knows they're all on the same page. That's one of those cases. The 0-1 is in on the hands, little flare toward the shortstop. Settle underneath it, playable for him, and Hunter squeezes it. Four out number one, and remaining at second base is Caballero. He was granted second base.
Yeah, just a little under it there from Mora. Able to make some contact, though, for the first time tonight. Obviously, a couple strikeouts, and now a fly out to short is not the ideal night for Mora, but again, he's probably got at least two more attempts left. So, we'll see him again.
Out of the plate is Zanizer, the Palisadro native. The infield shifts the pole on the righty. With the open stance, called time not granted, and he's turning away from this breaking ball, but it'll plunk him on the lower back. He asked for time from the home plate umpire, but the pitcher was already starting just barely his delivery toward home, and then in the process, Zanizer gets plunked with the pitch, and a painful no timeout granted, but puts runners at first and second with one out.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a little extra painful, too, assuming he was going to get granted time. He probably kind of uneased himself and felt a little less pressure, like ready to step out of the box and then to seize a fastball coming at him.
Okay.
Yeah, not optimal there from Zanizer, but he'll get his 90 feet regardless.
It was a pitch that didn't quite break correctly, unfortunately, for Sykes. And now the right-hand batting Hutchings to the plate. With runners at first and second, the infield playing behind them. It's the first pitch to the righty with one out. Dancing off the bag at second is Caballero with Ricker, the second baseman, holding him close. First pitch misses way inside for ball one. Backing out of the way is Hutchings.
It is so terrifying to me how many inches, how few inches you are away from just getting the fastball to the kneecap there. It's just so incredible to me. As the more I watch baseball, the more it just shocks me how these guys just really do stare down the barrel.
And there's a 1-0. It's fouled back to the screen, through the screen, all the way out to the parking lot. And it's part of the game. It's the risk you take. But, yeah, it'll make your knees buckle when you get a backdoor breaking ball that looks like it's going to plunk you in the back of your head, and it ends up dropping in the strike zone.
Don't want to think about that.
Yeah, it's one of the worst feelings.
Makes me wince just watching some of these pitches go by and them jumping out of the way.
Here's the 1-1. There's a line shot down the right field side, foul out of play toward the batting cages for strike two.
Good contact there from Hutchings. You've seen that quite a bit tonight as well. A couple really good contact swings from him, but just going foul.
And it's the risk of playing baseball as well. But, I mean, even at this level, these pitchers are coming in about 10 to 15 miles per hour less than the major league level. Here's the 1-2 delivery, sometimes about 20. Here's the 1-2 from the righty with runners at the corners. And now time called and granted to Hutchings.
Seitz has been taking his time with each pitch. He's taken about 20 seconds or so between each pitch, just making sure he likes what he sees, and the delivery has been slow from him so far, but the execution has been anything but that. He's done great.
Here's the 1-2 delivery. Deep breath, a deep couple of breaths for Seitz. Out of the stretch, kick steals. It misses low and in the dirt. Pushes the count to 2 balls and 2 strikes.
You do wonder if the bullpen's going to open up for either of these sides. They're both kind of at a stalemate again. Still 2-0, the Colt 45's lead. But maybe just trying to survive the night with these two guys who have pitched really well. But, again, the fatigue, it's only a matter of time. I feel like once you get to that sixth inning, it starts kind of going downhill. But you don't want to make a change when they're doing well.
Now the 2-2 just misses away off the plate. And about belt high.
Pretty much on cue as well, we see. The slightest bit of motion from the Fairfield Indians out towards that bullpen. Warm up one arm at least.
Just some light activity out there. Colt 45 stagnant in their bullpen. Now the payoff with one out. Gets his sign, glove at the belt. Kicks and deals is the righty. Ben Seitz checks the runners at first and second. And checks swing, breaking ball. And doesn't go around, lays off of it, low and away. And that will load the bases. Great plate discipline from Hutchings.
Yeah, now's the opportunity for the Colt 45s to really open this game up. You avoid the double play. We've been here before, though, back in the second inning as well. Bases loaded with one out away and able to get a pair of outs was Seitz. And now
Prajan Bynum is going to walk out to the mound, buy some time for the bullpen to get up and loose quickly. Talk things over with the infield. The bases are loaded with one out. Like you said, Spencer, they've gotten out of the jam before. They can definitely do it again, and this is a case of get up in the bullpen, get warm, get up quickly. But hopefully, Ben Seitz gets out of this jam because, as you said, both pitchers, they're pitching fairly well. You don't want to mess with that, but the more times you go through the order, the more the scales start to tip toward the hitter's side of things. And in a tight ball game like this where every run is going to just carry a ton of weight, you do not want to give up any easy runs.
I do love one thing that I never picked up until I started calling games to the here is just the method of managers just taking time and walking up to the mound just to keep their arm loose or get the bullpen pitcher that fresh arm warmed up and just make sure they're set for the next inning because they're not in a rush to get out of here anytime soon, of course, but they just want to make sure they're prepared. And obviously, I'm sure a conversation Ben Seitz need to hear, but more than anything, they'd probably just kind of talk about what their plans were for later.
Yeah. And
just buying time.
It's part of soccer too, right?
Right, absolutely.
You go down, you kind of writhe in pain a little bit just to catch your breath.
Yeah, no, of course.
Be less fatigued. Get that spark back.
Yeah.
Catch your breath, whatever you need to do.
I respect it. I wish there was a way you could just call time and go have a conversation real quick. But
one today's day and age too with all the timeouts and the fast pace of things.
There you go.
It's not even a thing that will be implemented, I'm sure.
Right.
Even hockey's the most fast-paced, and you get one timeout per game. Per half, I believe, actually. Might be per game. That's just an anomaly as Cornership brought in, waved at, and fouled away by Blankenship for strike one. He's walked and reached on an error tonight.
Blankenship has come around to score as well, so one of those two runners to cross home plate on the night and for the Colt 45s.
Yeah, both runs coming in the third and then the fourth inning. Goose Eggs atop the scoreboard. Here's the 0-1 right there for a called strike two, a fastball in the outer half. The corner's playing even with the bags, a little bit in front of the runners at first and third, and then shortstop and second base in Hunter and Ricker are shaded up the middle. Sights peering in to get a sign. The catcher Mason will set up away. The 0-2, breaking ball, chopped towards the third baseman, charges gloves, throws home, gets the force there, and the catcher Mason will hold on to it. That's out number two, aboard his Blankenship on the fielder's choice as the same thing happens again, and history repeats itself. Base is loaded, and just a weak hit on the inside of the infield, and going home for the force.
Yeah, I was just about to say, pretty much the exact same thing. Like, look at the Ramirez, the same thing as that second inning. Coming from that left side down the third base line and able to make the put out.
But now to the plate is Rowan Brown, who's 2-for-2 tonight. This is the guy you went up with the bases loaded.
He's yeah, absolutely.
Two of the seven hits for the 45s, who have two runs on seven hits, no errors. Fairfield, no runs on two hits and one error. The infield shifts back behind the runners. First pitch to Brown. It's off speed in there for a called strike one.
He has been stranded twice in scoring position, Rowan Brown, as well. So it's been... When he gets on, he gets around, just not all the way home. But with three runners in front of him, you'd like to think that he'd be going for the exact same thing. He'd bring two, maybe three runners across.
Left-hand batter. There's the 0-1. In on the hands, leaning out of the way is Brown. That'll even the count at one ball and one strike. Definitely not one you want to just wear for the team.
Right.
Especially when you're riding the hot bat. And on the hands, we've had a couple hand injuries across Major League Baseball this year where players miss some time. Here's the 1-1. This is low. In fact, Caballero last night, when he was hit by a pitch, right-hand batter, he was hit on the right forearm.
Ow.
Which, yeah, ow would be the understatement of the century for sure. It's a very painful way to wear a pitch. Right on the meat right there.
Speaking of helicopter over Tiger Field here.
Oh,
maybe some aerial footage here of Tiger Field.
2-1 is foul back at Texas Tech. Swung on and missed and goes. It's a wild pitch and coming in to score.
Wow.
Third is Zanizer. So a heads up play by Zanizer. Rowan Brown with the cut and miss.
Yeah, and runners will advance to second and third as well for the Colt 45s. Now, runners on second and third, two in scoring position, and Rowan Brown still with an opportunity here with two balls, two strikes, two outs.
And now 3-0.
Again, interesting play there for sure. I thought it was a dead ball. I thought it was fouled back. But it looked like it must have missed. Rowan Brown must have swung and missed, but that pitch made its way through everyone.
Now the 2-2 misses way upstairs. Yeah, I mean, I thought it might have got a piece of the bat, or
right.
I thought it missed high and got a piece of the umpire where it would be a dead ball. But somehow, like you said, went through everyone, went through three people, threaded the needle on it. Now 3 balls and 2 strikes with 2 outs. The runners can break on contact here.
Yeah, no argument from the Fairfield Indian side, not the catcher, not the pitcher, or the manager, so I'm assuming
now
the right call.
Granted by Brown. Threw up the hand to ask for time at the last second. Sights antsily wanting to get back underway. Rowan Brown with a deep breath trying to control the tempo from that batter's box. Here's the payoff with 2 outs. Runners in second and third. Breaking ball misses wide, and Brown... We'll take first base. There's another case of just controlling the pace of the game, slowing things down, much like when you go out to the mound for a mound visit. It's the same case there, calling time, getting it granted. Second walk of the inning. Ducks on the pond. Colt 45 is looking to get some more meat on the table with Deegan Paulos to the plate.
And thanks to Rowan Brown, a busy night for Tyler Jones as well on his off night. Third time approaching first base as a courtesy runner.
Yeah, I mean...
Brown with two singles, and working that full count walk as well. So 3-for-3 on the night as far as just reaching. So we got a dinosaur here at Tiger Field down to our right.
First pitch is in there for a called strike one. Didn't know it was Halloween.
A literal dinosaur down here.
Yeah, we might be getting some aerial coverage from the helicopter based on the circles.
Kind of circling. Circling.
Here's the 0-1. Breaking ball misses low. One ball and one strike.
Light chatter from fans here at Tiger Field as well. Just some light chatter. I thought it was
perfect. All part of the minor league ballpark field.
Right.
Here's the 1-1. Breaking ball on the outside corner. There's that backdoor breaking ball I was talking to you about. Looks like it's going to hit your shoulder. All of a sudden drops it on the outside corner. One ball and two strikes with two outs. Runners at first, second, and third. Hutchings leads from third, Blankenship from second, and Jones from first. The 1-2 is chopped foul at the plate. Off the plate and then almost stayed fair and then bounced foul by about, 2 to 3 inches maybe.
Yeah, those ones that skip off the plate are always interesting. You have no idea what, it's like a little trampoline. You never know where that one's going to go off the base.
Yeah,
or off
so
the plate.
Yeah. What most people don't pick up on is where those foul lines are. There's home plate is a, well, it's a house, right? Upside down house, basically. Where it's triangulated at the base of it, at the bottom of it. Here's the 1-2. As a ground ball toward the third baseman, gloves, he's going to go to first, and the stretch at the other end is not able to be picked. Goes into foul territory, into the dugout, and two runs will come in to score. Rounding third and coming to score. The throw-in is not going to be in time. Head first dive by Jones, and into third on the infield Little League triple is Deegan Paulos.
And I love the effort there from Tyler Jones on his off night. You see, he's a little limp to him now heading back to the dugout. But an aggressive slide there.
Deegan Paulos ends up at third. And yeah, Tyler Jones putting his body on the line full throttle. And as I was saying about balls off of home plate with that triangulation at the base of home plate, the bottom of home plate rather, that's parallel with the, or even I should say, just flush with the foul line. So if it hits off the plate, it's fair until it caroms foul. Depending on which way it goes, left, right, or just straight forward. As Timmy Ayers will be to the plate now, but Bijan Bynum is going to go out to the mound and take the baseball from Ben Seitz, who now has given up 6 runs, and he is responsible for the runner at third base, as it will be a new pitcher on in relief here. When we return after this short break here on KZNR, Shasta Redding, we'll see you in about a minute and a half.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Hey, Tilly and Kelvin, how do you feel about helping our local community?
Oh, boy, I love it. We can clean up trash, we can make homes more comfortable, we can...
I love your passion, young buck. But say, isn't it high time for our backpack drive?
Hey, you're right. Let's start there.
Attaboy. Now you're getting the hang of it.
Help Kelvin, Tilly, and the team at Redding provide backpacks for kids. Bring a new or gently used backpack to Redding Heating and Air's office before August 8th, and as a thank you, you'll get a $100 repair gift card and a $500 gift card towards any HVAC system installation.
Hey, Kelvin, did kids even wear backpacks when you were in school?
Hey, watch yourself, young buck.
Redding Heating and Air. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Well, Timmy Ayers is at the plate, and it's a brand new ball game here. As the Colt 45s have thrown an exclamation point on it. They lead by 6-0 with a runner at third. There will be a new reliever on for the Fairfield Indians. With Paulos at third, he reaches on the E5. He is the responsibility of Ben Seitz, as we have a new reliever on, a righty for the Fairfield Indians. Here's the first pitch to Timmy Ayers, left-hand batter. This is up high for ball one. And just a blunder of an inning. It turned into what should have been a very quiet inning, turned into a just blemish on the scorecard. Unfortunately, for the Fairfield Indians, here in this bottom of the fifth, called strike to Ayers. For Seitz, 4 2/3, 7 hits, 6 runs, 2 earned, not counting the runner at third. And it's all due to that error by the third baseman that 3 of those runs came in to score. And unfortunately, for the Indians, that might be the difference in this ballgame. Here's a 1-1. It's fouled back to the screen for strike 2. And when you're the third baseman right there, Smith, in that situation, you take it the easy way. Just go touch third, get the runner there.
I was about to touch on that as well. I just feel like the unfortunate part is, and I'm sure he's kicking himself about it, is he could have gone to any base, even home. And I get it. A good jump was made there by, I believe it was Hutchings. But I don't know. He wasn't even sliding in. I think he was still standing up. So I think he would have been able to beat the runner there and make the tag to retire the side. But I think just got ahead of himself there, maybe just a little.
Yeah, and that's where,
it's unfortunate.
As a third baseman too, you think that's a throw you make all day. Very routine ground ball. Nothing real tough about it. He handled it cleanly, but it's just where you need to beat the runner in the foot race to the third base bag. Get the out the easy way. Don't take any chances. Don't put the pressure on your first baseman either. Here's the 2-2. It's fouled back right above our heads and out of play. This count will hold at 2 balls and 2 strikes.
Johnny, don't go running out there.
Here in the 6-0 bottom of the fifth on the back half of our ball game where we've slowed down a little bit. Ayers has, and now
called balk.
A balk call, and trotting in to score for free will be Paulos, and it's coming a little bit untied here for the Fairfield Indians.
Yeah, 7-0 is now the score. Colt 45's lead, 5 coming here in the bottom of the fifth inning, and as Jacob mentioned, this game kind of hit a standstill as far as time goes, but the fireworks have begun here at Tiger Field, which usually we see a little bit earlier than halfway through the game.
Yeah, and I'll take it, to be honest.
Absolutely.
It's also Trevor Lesperance pitching as he delivers a breaking ball off the plate outside. And don't quite know how that missed,
right.
But Trevor Lesperance, who started at shortstop last night, now a payoff pitch to the left-hand batting Ayers, the 8th batter of this inning. The 3-2. This is way inside. Turning away from it is Ayers, and he will take first base. Might have actually hit him.
Yeah, hard to say.
Didn't see the call from the home plate umpire, but regardless, that is in fact ball 4. As Lesperance walks the first batter he faces, be a walk issued. As the 9th batter of the inning will step to the plate now, the 3rd walk in the inning, and we talked about it in the pregame show. The unwanted base runners, the easy traffic on the base paths, that is exactly what's happened so far tonight. That's why the Colt 45s have this lead. Ayers hit by pitches and walks. It's the first pitch of the right ended, and Conklin misses wide for ball 1.
Yeah, through the first 4 innings, they were great. Seitz was great. Just 1 hit batsman and 1 walk allowed. And that issued only 2 runs came across because of that. But, yeah, this 5th inning has really opened it up, and the Fairfield Indians have their work cut out for them now.
1-0 is hit out toward the Tiger Field scoreboard. Center fielder giving chase. Lake reaching up, leaping, and it's going to go off the base of the wall. Goes by him, caroms into straightaway center field. Conklin rounding second. He's going to hold there as the throw comes in. And the runners will hold at second and third. A phenomenal effort by Kamon Lake out there in left center field, leaping at the wall, and with no padding, you just have to try and catch that ball a little bit differently out there to those brick walls, and did a great job of leaping for it, but just couldn't quite get to it cleanly, and caroms into center field where it's played back, but still 2 away here in the 7-0 ball game, and it's the 10th batter of the inning, and Preston Conklin to the plate.
We have runners on second and third down. Yeah, as you mentioned, Conklin just got all of that one and getting it out just shy of the scoreboard. That ball almost went gone. So Caballero now with an opportunity to bring some runs across.
I was going to say, my apologies, Caballero to the plate now after the Conklin double. Breaking ball drops in there on the inner half. A called strike one. Lots of Conklin, Caballero, Chirito. That's been the season.
Absolutely, along with the left-handed batters, all of them.
Yeah, we almost had an all-C infield. I don't remember.
One of those nights, I almost had one as well. It might have been one of my solo calls, actually. Can't remember. One of my mini. One of my two.
Mini two, yeah. That pair. You're in a 7-0
game. Even if it's easier, I will say that, to say the least.
Glad.
No, it was a great experience being able to do it by myself, but learning from the best, so.
I don't know about the best. Bob Anderson's now going to come out and chat with the field umpire. We're just trying to be the best every night, you know?
There you go. Better than we were last weekend.
Yeah.
Better than we were the game before.
That's part of the fun of a
broadcaster.
Constantly just, you know, pushing for excellence. As it's a 1-1 count and a stagnant standstill. Bob Anderson wanted to talk with the field umpire. Don't know exactly what about. Maybe some habits of the pitcher. Who knows? The right hand hitting Caballero will dig back in with a 1-1 count. He is singled, reached on the E5, and walked tonight. Mora on deck should the inning continue. Lesprin spinning at the belt now comes set. Kicks, deals the 1-1. Foul back to the screen for strike two. The 10th batter of this 5th inning. And the 3rd batter for Lesprin's after he took over for Ben Saito in 4 2/3. Final line for Sites. 4 2/3, 7 hits, 7 runs, 2 earned. So this one's hitting the air toward left on the line. Shot playable for Morant, who will squeeze it, and the side is finally retired. The Colt 45s score a total of 5 here in the bottom of the 5th, and through 5 here at Tiger Field, it's 7-0. The 45s lead it.
Tonight's game is sponsored by Mentor Community Services. At Mentor Community Services, every person we serve is unique, with skills, strengths, and their own vision for their lives. We work with each individual and their circle of support to create a plan of service that works best for them. Stop by today at 696 Athalea Avenue or call at 530-221-9911. That's 530-221-9911.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Hey, Tilly and Kelvin, how do you feel about helping our local community?
Oh, boy, I love it. We can clean up trash, we can make homes more comfortable, we can...
I love your passion, young buck. But say, isn't it high time for our backpack drive?
Hey, you're right. Let's start there.
Attaboy. Now you're getting the hang of it.
Help Kelvin, Tilly, and the team at Reading provide backpacks for kids. Bring a new or gently used backpack to Reading Heating and Air's office before August 8th, and as a thank you, you'll get a $100 repair gift card and a $500 gift card towards any HVAC system installation.
Hey, Kelvin, did kids even wear backpacks when you were in school?
Hey, watch yourself, young buck.
Reading Heating and Air. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. Your Colt 45s lead by a score of 7-0 here. We have a relief pitcher in Jacob Lindell in for your Colt 45s, another left-handed pitcher on the mound here. We will get Nate Sheriff and his statistics to you as soon as possible. And due up is going to be Joey Mason. Actually, no, it's going to be the 54, either a substitute or a pinch hitter for the Fairfield Indians, getting his first bit of burn tonight.
Yeah, pinch hitter for the Fairfield Indians with the Sox up high. And I want to say the name's Imani Polk, if I remember right from last year.
This is low for ball two. Two balls, no strikes.
Could be wrong about that. We'll see how good my memory is when Chad Johnson announces
this. This one's called strike as well. So, two balls and one strike for Jacob Lindell. Who is number 54 of the Fairfield Indians. Right-handed batter. As does not go on this one, but it will not matter. 2-2 now. And a great night for Nate Sheriff, and Jacob Lindell's got his work cut out for him if he wants to fill those shoes, but so far so good as he will work himself a strikeout to start off the night.
Yeah, great
stuff. Top of the sixth. Two strikes in a row, but two swings coming in from this pinch hitter. And that will be the top of the lineup in Ethan Boatman.
Amari Polk, I was one letter off. That's not bad for a year removed. I'll take that all day.
Absolutely. Great memory there. And another called strike again with the fastball from Lindell. On the top lineup, Ethan Boatman, just his third at-bat of the night. He's got one walk, and he flew out at that very start to Andrew Mora in a rather unlucky fashion. That's just one called strike as well. Brings count to 0-2.
Sheriff on the night. 5 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 6 Ks on 73 pitches.
0 balls, 2 strikes, and now opportunity for the punch out here as it's fouled straight up into the air, right at the dugout of the Colt 45s, and unable to make the grab is third baseman Caballero, but that was pretty much making its way into the dugout, so not one you'd expect him to make.
Yeah, it would have been right up against the railing, which would have been a phenomenal catch, but... yeah, just not gonna,
right.
Not gonna get there. Angling, quite literally, like you said, inside of the dugout.
Now, left-handed pitcher at battle with the right-handed batter. Lindell kicks and deals, misses down in the dirt, bounces, keeping it in front of him. Doing a good job of doing so is Rowan Brown. Now, 1 ball and 2 strikes. As the Colt 45s lead this game 7-0. In case anyone's confused. Slight scoreboard malfunction here. Colt 45s have dominated all game long thanks to the pitching for the most part. Nate Sheriff, this one's fouled towards the Colt 45's dugout. We'll do it again. Count remains 1 ball, 2 strikes. 1 out away. In the top of the 6th inning, Colt 45's looking to pitch the shutout here. We've seen a time or two out here at Tiger Field this campaign. But after the loss last night, they're looking to do that again. As this one's down to Caballero, down that third base line, able to collect himself and make the play for the 5-3 put on Caballero to Mora. And just a step late was Boatman, using all the time he could, but still getting the throw there in time was Caballero. Very well played by him. Now there's 2 outs away here in the top of the 6th. Colts 45 still lead, 7-0.
Yeah, great job by Caballero. Gathered it, set his feet, stayed through the baseball, strong throw across, catches legs underneath him. That's out number 2.
I don't know if we mentioned, but the lights have most definitely taken full effect here at Tiger Field, as it is. Our guys, this one's going to get hit right up the second base line. And they get throws to Gimpalos, but it's not going to be there in time. Great speed from the second base line that more or less doesn't exist. Hit back up to the mound towards Jacob Lindell, and Gimpalos giving chase with the backhand. Pretty much grabs it right the second base bag, and able to make an off-footing throw.
Yeah, just with the jump throw off, I think it was the left leg, right?
Yeah.
The jump throw, the Jeter throw, if you will, on the backhand. He bobbled it momentarily just because it was a slow chopper and unable to really get enough velo on it.
Right.
But, I mean, a great effort from Paulos.
Yeah, Morant with doing a great job with the speed. That was a hard 90 as well. Not entirely sure if he was going to make that one. Didn't know if that was closer to shortstop and Conklin could have cut it off, but regardless, it's a single there. As we're still getting some slight scoreboard malfunctions. I believe it's a 1-0 count right now. This one swung on hard. towards left center, giving chase to it, and making the grab is going to be Blankenship, and that will retire the side here. The Fairfield Indians threaten, but do not score. They strand one on first here through six, through 5.5. The Colt 45s lead by a score of 7-0.
Tonight's game is sponsored by Mentor Community Services. One individual may want to live in a host home and live life as part of their caregiver's family. Another person may thrive in one of our exciting day programs. Whatever the person's needs and goals, our caring team is here to help them grow and live well with Mentor Community Services at 696 Azalea Avenue here in Reading. Or give them a call at 530-221-9911 for more information.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hello, fans, and welcome to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. Your Colt 45s lead the Fairfield Indians by a score of 7-0. Two up here at the bottom of the sixth inning is Andrew Mora, followed by Tyler Zanheiser and Wade Hutchings, the heart of the lineup here for the Colts tonight, who have hit particularly well outside of Andrew Mora, unfortunately. Two strikeouts swinging in the first and the third, and then flying out to short most recently in the fifth inning just a few minutes ago. But he's looking to get on the right side of things here. He's got plenty of time to make up for it. And on the campaign, he's done really well as well. A great season for Andrew Mora, and he's done great at first here tonight as well. So, can't complain too much, again, with the score where it's at. But he is batting cleanup tonight. So, looking to do his service here on the offensive side of things as well. Left-handed batter facing right-handed pitcher in Les Prince. As this one misses just outside for ball one. And at this point, sure, Mora just wanting to reach via anything, but he hits the ball hard. If he can get good contact and keep it between the lines, you assume anything will threaten a double. As this is about the same exact spot there, LeSprince does, so it'll be a 2-0 count now. Two balls, zero strikes, zero away in this one of the sixth inning. Zanheiser on deck, who has been hit by a pitch, doubled, and flown out to short. But he's done really well as well. It's big cut and miss there for Mora again. Swinging for the fences, as he usually does. Not coming up with nothing there, though, unfortunately. Two balls, one strike. And still 7-0. Colt 45s lead this ball game. They lost last night to this fourth Fairfield Indian side. This one swung on by Mora into shallow left field and giving chase and able to make the squeeze for out number one is the left fielder, Caleb Laurent. So 0-for-4 on the night for Andrew Mora. It's going to be a night he wants to quickly forget as of now. But the 45s have played well, even without one of their main men hitting the ball well. And now it's going to be Tyler Zanheiser, who again, 1-for-2 on the night, along with being hit by a pitch on his third attempt. Come around to score. He's got an RBI double to his name as well, which opened the scoring here tonight. Back in the third inning, as this one misses just low. And he's coming around to score himself as well, Zanheiser, after being hit by that pitch, which opened the scoring in that last, most recent fifth inning. One ball, no strikes. Here's the pitch from LeSprince. Hits the zone and evens up the count on the fastball there. Throws Zanheiser there. It's too late to decide whether to swing or not. Still one ball, one strike now. One out away. Nobody on. This one swung on foul from Zanheiser. It's going to carry really far, but it's going to be a long foul ball. Bring the count to one ball and two strikes, just a little ahead of that one. Swinging a little early. Now you wonder if LeSprince is going to try to throw him off with an off speed now. Or you could even speed things up for him. Right on right matchup. Here's the 1-2. Check swing from Zanheiser. In on the hand, say he didn't go, even up the count 2-2. And a good hesitation there and a pullback there from Tyler Zanheiser. On deck will be Wade Hutchings, the designated hitter for the night as well for the Colt 45s. And big swing and a miss there from Zanheiser. Not able to come up with anything there. That will be out number two here in a quick working bottom of the sixth inning. And it's going to be Wade Hutchings up to the plate now for his fourth attempt. He has grounded out, struck out looking, and walked, and came around to score off that walk in the most recent fifth inning. Some good base running there as well, as this one's going to hit the inside corner for strike one. Oh, one count here. Swing and a miss, swinging that low there. Read the count to 0-2. That one down in the dirt, and Hutchings with a really aggressive swing there down at the dirt. Probably got a piece of dirt on the way up. That one a little low out of the zone. This will swing on this one. Very similar. Down the third base line, it's going to be called foul. Really close one there. I thought it was actually staying fair. But regardless, count will remain 0-2. And Colt 45s lead this game 7-0. As we are one out away, one strike away, actually, from the seventh inning. Gregor LeSprintz with an opportunity, the right-handed pitcher, to retire the side. As this one misses just inside, it'll bring the count to 1-2. Here's the 1-2, swung on hard. It's going to find some grass in center field, and that is going to be a single for Wade Hutchings, designated hitter, his first hit of the night.
Yeah, Hutchings, great piece of hitting. Laced it into center field, put on the fairway, keep that line moving. And I was going to bring up, Hutchings got a start on July 26th versus the Tehama Bulls in that 6-2 endeavor. The win went to Jake Liddell. Hutchings went the first three, one hit, two runs, both earned, three walks, and six strikeouts, facing off against the Tehama Bulls, who the Tehama Bulls featuring Cody Rathel, but then also Ty Cook and Aaron Wood, who were 45s last year, Ty Cook being the ace of this ball club.
Yeah, and Aaron Wood, a local guy as well, that I grew up going to school with, just a random fun fact for you.
I feel like I remember you saying that last year.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
I do say that about half the people out here, though, I fear. Usually it's with the Colt 45s team, but a lot of local guys. As Bradley Blankenship will see a couple pitches, and now is favored in this 2-0 count. Runner on first in Hutchings. Two outs away, though. Swings on this one. He'll go foul towards that Indians dugout, which is rather quiet. Not as happy to be here as the Colt 45s, so I had to assume, based off the result, through 5 2/3 innings.
Although I will say for Fairfield, California, down near where I'm from, the temperature is about the same from to Redding right now. Vacaville, Fairfield area sits around 100, 105 typically in the summer. Don't know what it's been this summer. It's been a little bit cooler down in the Bay Area as far as I know. Now 3-1 count on the righty. So not abnormal weather for them.
Swing and a miss, and it'll even up the count, or fill the count rather. And now it is going to be 3 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs away, and Blankenship down to his last opportunity here. But LeSprintz has to find the zone, or we'll give Blankenship a free 90 and put Hutchings in scoring position as well for Roman Brown. Swing and a miss, and that will retire the second on one that's a little bit high. But regardless, we are now 7-0. The Colt 45s lead through 6 innings. We will head to the top of the seventh, where the Fairfield Indians will be due up and look to get on board for the first time tonight.
Tonight's game is sponsored by California Mentor. They were established back in 1981. California Mentor Services, California Mentor Community Services, where they believe that every person has skills, strengths, and their own vision for their life. They want to get to know each person so they can understand their needs and their goals that they want to reach. They work with the individual and their circle of support to create a plan of service that works for them. That's California Mentor Community Services. You can give them a call for more information at 530-221-9911.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
It's the top of the seventh inning here. It's the left-hand batter, Larry Westbrook, to the plate, who chops it toward the shortstop, Conklin, charging back behind second base. Strong throw to first in time for the 6-3 put out, covering some ground out there back behind the second base bag.
Yeah, an incredible play there by Conklin. It looked like Deegan Paulus, excuse me, just giving a half-hearted chase there. Obviously, the backhand would have been much tougher. I'm sure he knew that was Conklin's ball to go chase down, but right over that second base line, kind of in between both of their territory. I thought that was definitely going to be a single. Good hit there by Westbrook, but unfortunately gets rinsed out there by Preston Conklin.
Yeah, what a great play. There's no other way
absolutely
to say it.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more.
First pitch, pinch hitter in Trevor Lesprince.
We see that a lot there at shortstop, and especially third from Conklin, and as well as Mark Anthony Carroll, who we have not seen tonight.
Yeah, he signed with Cal State East Bay. He's going to be a pioneer down in Hayward, California. Down there at Cal State East Bay, D2, I think.
Bunch of Cali boys out here.
Yeah.
No, that sounds about right to me. We'll fact check it.
A bunch of guys signing. This one's fouled back to the screen for strike two. A couple of foul balls back by Trevor Lesprince.
Yeah, Division II University. There you go.
Off the dome. Remember, there was a D2. It is back home. I should know
right.
To be fair. A lot of JUCO guys that I know of end up going to school there. Here's the 1-2 delivery. Up and away for ball two. Two balls and two strikes to Lesprince, who's the reliever currently for the Indians. Likely be getting relieved of his duties and into the game at shortstop. Here's a 2-2 is foul back up and over the plate. Count holds at two balls and two strikes here in the top of the seventh inning. Now the 2-2 is foul tipped, held on. That is a strikeout for Mr. Lindell, his second of the night. That is out number two. As we get a pinch hitter here, another one. As we will get likely a slew of pinch hitters in this late inning. Endeavor at this point. Romando Ramos. Who had a home run, a solo shot last night. Rolando Ramos.
Called ball one there. Not entirely sure where that one missed. 1-0 count nonetheless. Two outs away. A 7-0 ball game. Colt provides lead as this one fakes. We're going to miss there. Coming from Ramos. Even up the count. One ball, one strike.
And he entered the game back in the sixth at second base. Now a 1-1 count on the right-hand batter getting his first try. Here's the 1-1 delivery to the righty. Swung on a miss for strike two, down and in.
Lindell doing a good job just switching it up, making sure these batters for the Fairfield Indians can't figure out what he's trying to do, what he's throwing. He's done a great job just mixing it up so far here in this inning, and the last as well.
Now the 1-2 delivery. Is bounced in there, and in the dirt, laying off the whole way through, is Ramos. Count moves to 2 balls and 2 strikes. With 2 outs and nobody on, you're in a 7-0 top of the 7th. The 2-2 swung on and missed. 1-2-3, go the Indians. And it is time to stretch here at Tiger Field. Some disputing coming from the righty Rolando Ramos and the home plate umpire. Talking things over. Might have been on one of the earlier pitches.
Yes, I see.
Just thinking it missed or didn't hit the zone. And we will have Scott Lewis singing tonight's rendition of God Bless America, or not have Scott Lewis, but a recording. We'll hope that our crowd mic picks it up here at Tiger Field.
Oh, God bless America, land that I love, stand beside her and God. Through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home.
That was a recorded edition of God Bless America here tonight at Tiger Field. After 6.5, it's 7-0. The 45s lead it.
Tonight's Running Colt 45s game is sponsored by Mentor Community Services. For the past 40 years, Mentor Community Services programs have helped people with disabilities, mental health challenges, and other needs to build the skills and positive relationships they need to live full and joyful lives. Stop by today at 696 Azalea Avenue or call today at 530-221-9911. That's 530-221-9911.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
And Ted Light. We want to invite you to our show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Owen Brown to the plate, left-hand batter here in the home half of the seventh of a 7-0 ball game. Takes ball one, low. Owen Brown so far tonight has gotten on base all three times via a couple of singles and then a walk. And then Jones and Curtis have been busy out there. This one catches the inside corner.
He's got to go home and tell his parents he got injured on his day off, sliding into home.
A full-on, full-extension Superman slide. Owen Brown with some disposition here with the home plate umpire on that previous strike call. Here's the 1-1 delivery. Misses way inside, almost went up and over the screen, and Rowan Brown with a little sideways look at the...
Good, I'm glad you saw that, too. I saw a little stare down there.
Yeah.
A little frustration from him.
A little, I don't want to say Bush League. Bush League, yeah. A little too extreme, but, you know, look of displeasure, we'll put it.
Right.
Nothing too much. A 2-1 breaking ball on the outside corner. Thing of beauty right there. Count 2 balls and 2 strikes.
Just to clarify, in case Tyler Jones and his family are listening, I think he's okay, just to make sure.
Yeah, he seems to be all right. The 2-2 is chopped down the first base side, foul out of play.
Just a little gimpy getting up there after the aggressive slide where the tag would have probably had him, but lost the ball and ended up flying past home plate and kind of crawled back to tap on home plate, make sure he was safe.
which
it's fun to watch.
Yeah, you can feel free to mess with him a little bit.
There you go.
That'll be fun. Just, you know, head first fight. You also want to double check that you did, in fact, touch on.
Right, absolutely.
He might have fully gotten the plate, but just, you know.
Just to make sure.
Safe. Better safe than sorry. This breaking ball misses high. The count moves to 3 balls and 2 strikes. Here in the home half of the seventh. Left-hand batting, Brown taps the plate with his bat. Now readies. As the righty Lesperance comes set, kicks and deals. Wade and Brown flips his bat. And just a look of displeasure toward the pitcher again. Some laughs between them. Missed inside for ball four. And aboard is Rowan Brown via the walk. See if Tyler Jones will come out to be the courtesy runner. And it will, in fact, be Tyler Jones. So he is, in fact, A-OK for the fourth time tonight.
He knew that Brown was going to make his way back to the dugout in and decided to put himself right between the pitcher in Lesperance and Brown. That is probably the most jarring I've seen this season. I haven't called, you know, a ton of games that have been really close. Not that this one is, but I remember last year we had our fair share. It was fun to see.
There was a game that ended in some sort of extracurriculars, where there was players that needed to be held back. That was fun last year.
Yep. My favorite part was the post-game interview when I was hanging out with one of the players afterwards. Yeah, so, hey, well, what was all going on there?
The 1-0 bunt goes back to the pitcher. He'll flip to first in time. Paulus is out for the 1-3 sacrifice bunt. And, yeah, I mean, I don't remember exactly what was said last year and all that transpired. I just remember post-game, you know, the whole handshake line. And
yeah.
That did, in fact, not go all the way through both rosters. So it kind of halted.
Absolutely. Maybe got to tell a couple buddies good game, then the rest of it was...
Yeah, a little bit scattered.
Bush League, there you go.
Which you love it when they play with the tail on fire.
Right, absolutely.
It's the first piss, which is way upstairs for ball one. To the top of the order in Timmy Ayers. For ball one. Now the 1-0. Right there on the outer half. To even the count up at 1 ball and 1 strike. Lesperance with some smiles out there on that hill for the Fairfield Indians, despite being down in a 7-0 ball game. Just kind of having some fun out here tonight at Tiger Field. Now, time called by the home plate umpire has a few words for Lesperance. Now with a nod in affirmation of understanding what the umpire is saying. Might have just been, you know, stop with the antics right. of some sort. This one's grounded to the second baseman, diving to his
what
left. Gathered, flips to first, high and away. The first baseman corrals it. Great job by Westbrook. The throw from Ramos was way wild. And safe at first on the infield single. Does a great job by the second baseman, Ramos, ranging to his left.
Yeah, an incredible play.
But unable to get the out. And that's if the throw were to beat Ayers. It would have been a close play as Preston
right.
Conklin will step to the plate. Now here's the delivery from the righty upstairs for ball one. One ball and no strikes the right-hand batter with the even stance. Foul tipped and held on by the catcher, Mason. Even the count at 1 ball, 1 strike. One and one with one out. The right of the sprints kicks and deals out of the stretch. That's going to plunk Conklin on the knee with the breaking ball that just didn't break back over the plate. That will load the bases for Nicholas Caballero on the hit batter. Again, a little bit unraveled now. For the Indians, bases loaded, 7-0, bottom of the seventh for Caballero, who's walked, reached on the error, singled, and lined out to left. First pitch to him misses way inside for ball one. No activity out in that Fairfield Indian bullpen. Now the 1-0 off the plate. Now just a stroll and a deep breath from the pitcher Les Prince as he climbs back up the hill. Trying to settle in here with one out. Here's a 2-0. Waved at breaking ball low and away.
Trying to do it for the fans out here. He's swinging for the fences there. He must have heard Chad Johnson on the PA.
Yeah, lucky fan winning the cash prize for a grand slam. And I believe it was last weekend. There was one grand slam that I called. Might have been the weekend before, actually. It's a ground ball up the middle and toward the shortstop. Flip to second for one. The relay to first in time.
Wow.
6-4-3. Wow, what a turn there for the Fairfield Indians to get out of the jam. The 45's threatened, but they fail to score. They leave three stranded aboard, and that was a phenomenal play by Hunter to Ramos to Westbrook with the underhand flip on the second base bag. The pivot and turn and the side is retired through seven here at Tiger Field. It's 7-0. The 45's lead it.
Tonight's Reading Colt 45's game is sponsored by Mentor Community Services. At Mentor Community Services, every person we serve is unique with skills, strengths, and their own vision for their lives. We work with each individual and their circle of support to create a plan of service that best works for them. Stop by today at 696 Azalea Avenue or call today at 530-221-9911. That's 530-221-9911.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency Program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Fott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Top of the eighth inning, Jacob Lindell in his third inning of work here, following up in Sheriff's footsteps, an 0-2 count on Aldo Caz, and to take you the rest of the way through the eighth, here's Spencer Slangy.
Thank you, Jacob. Yeah, 0-2 count here, an opportunity for Cheryl to get the strikeout. He got him there on a swinging foul ball that was caught there, obviously on the third strike, swinging third strike, or foul tip third strike to Rowan Brown. So that's strike number one and another strikeout for Jacob Lindell in his young night. He's got four strikeouts in just 2 1/3 innings pitched. So out of the seven outs, he's got four of them. Really impressive stuff from Lindell so far. Now he'll face off the left-handed batter. As it will hit the zone for strike number one. 0-1 count now. Is in that designated hitter spot, so trying to get that number to you as soon as possible. It looks like it is going to be Ben Seitz still, the 15-D starting pitcher for the Colt 45 tonight, as this one misses way behind him. Just lost hand to that one. Little lap there coming from Seitz. Lindell switches the ball out. One ball, one strike, and one out here. The Colt 45's lead here in the top of the eighth inning, 7-0. They scored one in the third, one in the fourth, and then five in the fifth, and that is all the scoring we've seen today from either side. Fairfield Indians yet to come across as this one's called strike there. Finding the spot again on that changeup is Lindell. One ball and two strikes now. Again, one out away. besides the designated hitter tonight after he pitched for four innings and did particularly well as well besides that fifth inning. Things got away from him as he swings and misses on the change up there. And you can see him jumping out of the zone there or out of the batter's box. A lot of frustration. There's the off-speed there and a little chuckle there from Lindell. For out number two, back-to-back strikeouts and five on the night now for Lindell. He's done great. Five of the eight outs he's been a part of have been strikeouts. And all five have been swinging. An incredible stat here for Jacob Lindell. So he will now face the number 22. And the ninth batter will be a pinch hitter or a substitute that I may have missed. This is going to miss just high. One ball, no strikes, two outs, 7-0, the Colt 45's lead. Opportunity to retire the side quickly as this one's going to get chopped up over the head of Deegan Paulus. No, he's able to make the grab, and it will be three up, three down in just about a minute and a half. And that will retire the side here in the top of the eighth. We're heading to the bottom of the eighth inning. Colt 45 still up seven with not much more work to do.
Tonight's game is sponsored by Mentor Community Services for the past 40 years. And established in 1981, Mentor Community Services programs have helped people with disabilities, mental health challenges, and other needs to build the skills and positive relationships they need to live full, joyful lives.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Customers walk into your business, the feeling they get matters. Fresh, clean paint tells them they're in the right place. Eagle Eye Painting helps offices, shops, and restaurants feel welcoming and professional. We work around your hours, keep things neat, and finish on schedule with clear communication the whole way. We're local, licensed, bonded, and insured, and we're happy to work with you in English or Spanish. Give your business the fresh look it deserves. Call Eagle Eye Painting at 530-410-1317 for a friendly, no-pressure estimate. That's 530-410 or visit 530painter.com.
And welcome to Kaido Field here in California. We are now in the bottom of the eighth inning. And should the game continue as it has, this will be the final time we will see the Colt 45s on offense tonight. Taking the rest of the way, here's Jacob Green.
Yeah, it's Justino Casas on in relief. And this is a bit of a fun one to call. Justino Casas, known from back home, back in the high school, the middle school days, actually. Back around eighth grade. And the southpaw will be facing off here. Bay Area native from Vallejo, California, out there down in B-Town. Southpaw, sporting that 17 with the socks up high. And causes full work from that third base side, bending at the waist, a la Craig Kimball, lefty. This one misses low and away for ball one. Just missed it. Causes a younger lefty. Oh, but older for this roster is Mora. Lines this one down the right field line, but just foul. A little bit out in front. Just, you know, causes again just... Pretty cool to see him come up here. Wasn't able to make it up here last year. So getting to see him play and call the game, pretty spectacular. Here's a 1-1. Breaking ball misses away. Features that custom glove with some customizations to it for his mom. Here's the 2-1. Just to raise awareness for her and support her. Three balls and one strike to Mora, who's caged twice, popped out and flown out to left. The lefty sets, steals, misses up and in for ball four. And Mora works the leadoff walk. He's on base for the first time tonight.
Yeah, and usually you say that in about the first or second inning, not the eighth, but more unfortunately, not the best night for him. He's gotten a little unlucky as well, I will say, but a pair of strikeouts swinging to start, and then the last two flying out to short and left. But now, finally on base, see if he can come around and score here. As out left field, we get some sirens here.
Yeah, some activity with the fire truck. Zanizer to the plate. Takes a called strike one. Yeah, better known as Tino, at least to me, is Mama Lupus Warrior, as this one's grounded toward the diving third baseman. Gloves throws to first, way high into the Fairfield Indian dugout, and both runners will move up an extra 90 feet. That's the third baseman. Well, I thought it was Smith, but it's someone else over there. It was just diving play, popped back up, and then just way too much mustard on it, way above the head of the first baseman, Westbrook. That puts runners at second and third, and a costly mistake for Indians here. That's only proper at this point because I'm calling this happening, that it would take this as this one goes wide of the plate past the catcher, but the runners will hold at second and third. Given that you just called, what, a three-minute happening probably?
Probably less. I'm not going to lie. Seven pitches or so. 2 minutes, I'd say. Max.
Bending at the waist is Casas. Comes set from that third base side with the Sox up high. Kick steals the 1-0 with the sidewinding delivery. Misses up and away. Ball two. Two balls and no strikes. The southpaw kicks and deals, foul back to the screen. 2-1. Back up the front slope of the mound, the moon peeking out over right field, a nearly full moon, just glowing out there, with darkness fully in effect. Here at Tiger Field, the 2-1, breaking ball foul back to the screen. This count moves to 2 balls and 2 strikes on Wade Hutchings from Redding, California, Enterprise High School. Right-hand batter who has grounded out, struck out looking, and walked and singled tonight. Casas comes set. Kicks and deals the 2-2. Breaking ball reached for and fouled up and away out of play. And we'll do it again at 2 balls and 2 strikes. Causes with a new baseball, rubs it up. Now peers in at his battery mate, Mason. 2-2. There's a line shot toward center. Should be playable. Drifting over his leg toward the gap. Turn and a throw in is not going to be in time as the runners will tag. And a sacrifice fly as Morrow will come into score. Moving third is Zanizer. As Hutchings flies out.
Yeah, great contact there from Hutchings. Obviously, just get the job done. The little bit of insurance runs they may possibly need heading into the ninth.
Yeah, it's just, at this point, just one more, you know.
Right.
Never can be too safe. And so Ramos is actually at shortstop. So this scorecard's about to get all messed up. But Ramos is at shortstop. Not sure who's at third. First pitch misses up and away to the right-hand batting Blankenship. Can't even tell you who's behind the plate. We got a plethora of just numbers and exchanges. Swung on and missed for strike two. Riley Blankenship, who has walked, reached on an error fielder's choice, and struck out swinging tonight. A 1-1 count to him. Causes kicks and deals. This is wide. Knock around by the catcher covering home. The flip is not going to be in time. It's coming in to score is Zanizer. Now the base is empty. Blankenship working a 2-1 count. Causes trying to regain his composure after the defense behind him kind of let him down a little bit. Here's the 2-1. Out of the stretch, reach for fouled up and away, out of play. Pushes the count to 2-2. And causes not the highest velocity, but what a movement. Comes set to face off against the right-hand batter. The 2-1 is way inside, just didn't break back over the plate fully. This is for ball three. Three balls and one strike. To Bradley Blankenship here in the top, bottom of the eighth inning, rather. Causes comes set. Kicks and deals the 3-1 in the dirt for ball four. Blankenship will work a walk. Here on KCNR Shasta Reading, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, online at KCNRradio.com. Jacob Green and Spencer Schlinge here with you. It's great to have you with us for this Friday night edition of Colt 45's Baseball. Saturday night tomorrow will be the final game of this 2026 summer season.
Went by quick, I will say. It's gone by fast. It does every year. It always gets quicker. The days get longer, but the years get shorter, I feel like.
Isn't that a song?
I don't know. I apologize if I accidentally quoted something. I'm not even trying to like make it sound like I said that myself.
You're just poetic. What can I say?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
It's the commentator in you. Here's the 0-1. This is wide. That breaking ball not getting on the outside corner like causes once. He steps back up the hill. But yeah, I will say it flew by this year a little bit more than it has in the past.
I feel so too. I mean, this is only my second full season, but I do feel like this one went by really quick. And it may have just been like the recent gap towards the very back end of the season.
Yeah.
But I'm not entirely sure.
I think we also caught our rhythms a little bit quicker.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Given how much we worked together the last year with Simpson. Here's the 2-1 breaking ball. Misses up and away for ball three. And also with the whole crew there, I mean, just a bunch of people I could name, but when you have a whole crew like that, it just flies by.
Absolutely.
Here's the 3-1 delivery. This is way inside, and another walk issue. So we'll bring up the 9-hitter in Deegan Paulos. And Tyler Jones will go out and be the courtesy runner yet again. Rowan Brown, just in terms of getting on base,
he did it all. Yeah.
5 of 5. He's had a great day at the plate. And he will not get a courtesy runner out there. Unless I miss something, look down too quick. But here's Paulos, takes a called strike one on the outside corner. A little bit of head shaking there from Deegan Paulos after that call. Yeah, no courtesy runner out there at first. So runners are first and second. Here's the 0-1. Breaking ball goes behind the runner. Can't get that breaking ball down. One and one to Paulos, the second baseman. That one called in there for a called strike two. Some complaints from the crowd here, but part of the game of baseball. Toward the end of the game, if it starts to get a little lopsided, that strike zone is going to expand for one team over the other. Part of the ever-evolving game, the 1-2, is a line shot foul down the left field side toward the Colt 45 pen.
Yeah, Paulos taking some anger out on that one. Obviously didn't agree with the last couple calls. That one stayed fair. It would have been a nice hit.
Yeah, and just couldn't straighten it out way out in front of it. But
right.
Now the 1-2 delivery. This is low and in.
Can't we see?
Now we'll put the count to 2 balls and 2 strikes. Now peering in and coming set. And missing way upstairs. That will fill the count at 3 balls and 2 strikes. With the runners at first and second, the third baseman, even with the bag at third, which I believe is Bo Smith. Here's the payoff. It's grounded back to Casas. Passes glove, carries with the shortstop. It was not going to be able to throw the short way. Tried to barehand it out of the glove and just didn't handle it cleanly. And just having to hold on to it causes in frustration, head in his hands, as he'll climb back up the back slope of the hill. And again, his defense has let him down a little bit here in this inning. He's been Had some command issues, but all around, he should have been back in the dugout. That whole Indian squad
right.
should have been back in the dugout. Everyone will be safe. And Timmy Ayers to the plate. That is Seitz over there at third, by the way. Who moved over there. This one's called strike one to the left-hand hitting Ayers. Here in the bottom of the eighth inning of a 9-0 ball game. Two runs on the board here in this home half of the eighth. The 0-1 on the inside corner at the knees, a called strike two. Kazis peering in, arm dangling to his left. The southpaw comes set from the third base side. Runners take their leads from first, second, and third. The 0-2 misses high. One ball and two strikes. Stroll back up the mound. Ready to peer in, comes set, and he's going to step off. Time call. And granted, does a little landscaping on that back slope. One ball and two strikes. Some command issues early on in this outing for Kazis, but it's kind of settled in a little bit, apart from the defensive blunders behind him. A 1-2 count to the left-hand inning Ayers. A late kick, the 1-2, misses way wide off the backstop. It's going to carry him back on the play, and they'll hold everybody at first, second, and third.
A nice friendly hop there off the backstop, coming back towards into the field of play, as you mentioned, towards Bradley Blankenship on third, so he couldn't really pursue coming home.
Yeah, just a pitch that looked like it slipped. And that's, again, with that sidewinding delivery, that arm slot at about 45 degrees from the first base side. Just a lot of spin with that. Just a weird grip that you're going to have. Here's the 2-2 as a line shot towards center. It's going to sink, fall for a base hit. Runners will be late to break. The throw from the shortstop to third is not going to be in time. And they're going to call him out. That's
wow.
A bang-bang play over there. The third baseman playing a little bit of first base, Bob Anderson, immediately out to argue to talk to the field umpire. He's going to throw up a hand here and talk things over with Bob Anderson. Here in was a 9-0 ball game. If this run comes in to score, it'll be 10-0 headed to the ninth. And the relay throw from Lake to Ramos, the shortstop, and then the flip to Seitz on the bag at third base in time. All of the runners were late breaking, even with two outs. They had to wait for that ball to land. Full leg extension and reach by the third baseman Seitz, again, acting like it's first base, just reaching for it. Now the trio of umpires are going to come together and talk things over, see if they can overturn it.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, there was only one out down there. So a runner did come across to score to make it 10-0, but that throw would be the 8-6-5 put out would be out number two.
I was going to say, yeah, I just realized that as my mistake, too, because the scoreboard says two outs now.
Right.
And so they are going to call him out. They're going to uphold it. Bob Anderson disappointed along with the rest of the crowd here at Tiger Field, but at the end of the day, the scoreboard reading what it says, and if it's a bang-bang play.
Yeah. I think he was safe for sure, but I think I know why he was called out there.
Yeah, that's just how it's going to roll sometimes.
Not trying to expose anyone's intentions.
It still is a RBI single for Ayers.
Right.
This one misses wide to Conklin here in the eighth. And I mean, I don't want to say out by a mile, but at the same time, wasn't exactly that close of a play. But it was close enough that it goes the other way. You know,
yeah.
Again, part of the game, part of the unwritten rules of the game of baseball. Now two outs and a 2-0 count on the right-hand hitting Preston Conklin, who's been hit by a pitch, doubled, grounded out, singled, and struck out tonight. There's a 2-0 on the outside corner, right at the knees.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't take a swing at that one. Being his last at-bat and all, that one was right down the heart, I think.
Yeah, just dropping in there, right
yeah.
on the outside corner. Great pitch. Here's the 2-1 from Kazis. Tried to get that same pitch again. Misses wide for ball three. This is where Kazis pitching a little bit more outside. And he needs to get that ball a little bit more in and less elevated. Here's the 3-1. This is high for ball four. That will reload the bases. Now the walks are pouring in as the ninth batter of the inning to the plate.
Yeah, according to my play sheet, just one hit so far, and that was the Timmy Ayers hit just recently out in the center field on the night, or on the inning for the Colt 45s, even though they brought two across, and now they have the bases loaded, looking to bring more across.
Yeah, a couple of walks and a couple of hit-by-pitches, or a couple of walks and then some errors, and it's just coming unraveled for the Indians.
Right.
In a 10-0 endeavor now. A 1-0 count on the right-hand hitting Caballero. There's a 1-0. Off the plate outside. This is low and away. Two balls and no strikes. It's not that Casas isn't drawing swings and misses or anything like that. It's just can't get. He's not throwing strikes. This one misses low again for ball three. And also, momentum plays a factor. When you do get those ground balls, you get those what would be outs, and your defense can't make the play behind you. It's just frustrating. You're going to have to pitch a little bit harder. Here's a 3-0 foul tip back to the screen, and that was a great pitch there. Draws a swing. And when you can't, you know, when you can't get the easy outs like that, and you can't get out of the jam, it just creates a lot of built up emotion and tension. It's a little bit hard to throw that baseball for strikes. So three balls and one strike. Casas comes set from the third base side, kicks and deals. This is wide for ball four, and Caballero will work the free pass. And another run comes in to score. Deegan Paulus will trot around, and now Andrew Moore to the plate, who led off this inning. And this is Casas' game to finish off here in the eighth. There's no one behind him. It was a walk, an E5, a sacrifice fly, another walk, an E6, a single, a walk, another walk. But in the middle of all that, the 8-6-1, as the Indians are going to all come together and take that back. It will not be Casas' inning to end, as the baseball will be taken by Prejean Bynum, the manager. He will hand it over to a different Fairfield Indian to get the final out of this eighth inning. To get some more defensive replacements here at Tiger Field. When we come back after this break, will be Andrew Moore versus the Fairfield Indians' new reliever. When we return after this, here on KCR, Shasta Credit.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency Program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Win the ball game. There's a ground ball through the third base, and Thompson gloves, throws home, and it goes past the catcher at home, all the way to the backstop, around third, and sliding in, out Tyler Jones, and the Colt 45s walk it off again.
It's Caleb Morant on in relief for the Fairfield Indians, following the footsteps of Casas, who had a rough outing of two-thirds plus, had a handful of walks, but the defense behind him did not help too much, and a couple of errors in the inning. Just three bases for the 45s. And now Andrew Mora will step to the plate for, and Caleb Morant from Napa Valley College, one of my alma maters, played ball there in junior year of high school with Derek Robinson Jr., who was here last night but then left the team to go head out to New Orleans, where he will be playing baseball this next year. Now the 1-0 delivery is hit in the air towards shallow left center field. A trio of Indians out there, but it's playable for the left fielder, who is no longer Morant. Not sure who it is out there in left. One of the defensive replacements. And the side is retired, but the 45's poured on, and one pitch, one out. Ends things here for the 45s, but it's 11-0 through 8 as we head to the 9th here at Tiger Field.
Tonight's game is sponsored by Mentor Community Services. For the past 40 years, Mentor Community Services programs have helped people with disabilities, mental health challenges, and other needs to build the skills and positive relationships they need to live full and joyful lives. Stop by today at 696 Azalea Avenue or call at 530-221-9911. That's 530-221-9911.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Well, Tyler Shepherd out of Simpson University to pitcher for the 45s out of Chico, California, 6'205", left. It's been a handful of lefties for the 45s tonight. Shepherd's final outing of the year, likely, after Lindell goes 3, giving up the lone hit, no runs in that endeavor, no walks, and had 5 strikeouts. We are entering the 9th here. Shepherd makes his final warm up and the throw down to second base to finish things. Warming up, it will be a trio of Indians to the plate, led by Ethan Boatman to lead things off here in the 9th. Boatman, Morant, and Smith for the Fairfield Indians. Right-hand batter who has lined out, walked, and grounded to third tonight. Right-hand batter will step into the box to face off against the lefty, Shepherd. Now the delivery in this left-on-right matchup. Sheriff Lindell and now Shepherd for the 45s. There's a line shot toward left coming on is Blankenship, and he'll handle that one. One pitch, one out. As Boatman goes down. That's out number one as right-hand batter pinch hitter to the plate. That's number 20 for Fairfield. Hi, Kazumi, who was last night's starting pitcher, who, again, just had an excellent outing. Able to shut down this 45's offense. He went 7 1/3, 7 hits, 3 runs, 2 earned, 2 walks, 5 Ks, and got the win. Here's the first pitch from Shepherd. Right down Broadway for a called strike one to Kai Kazumi. Now the 0-1 is foul tipped for strike two. No balls and 2 strikes to Kazumi. Shepherd with a new baseball walks back up the front slope of the mound. Kazumi ready in that right-hand batter's box. He steps in. Slightly open and stands deep in the box. Shepherd comes set, working from that third base side of the rubber. Kicks and deals the 0-2 up and away. Reared back with the fastball. 1 ball and 2 strikes. The 1-2 misses low and away. 2-2. Shepard comes set. Glove of the bell. Deep breath. Leg kick. And peels the 2-2 upstairs for ball three. That will fill the count at 3 balls and 2 strikes. Shepard readies again. Now the payoff. This is just a bit low, over below for ball four, and working a walk is Kazumi in his first at-bat of the night. Now the first baseman, Bo Smith. So move from first. Just a plethora of changes on the infield. Takes strike one. Right-hand batter with an even stance. Shepard comes set, kicks and deals the 0-1. This is blowing away. Ground ball here would end it. Able to turn it 6-4-3 or 4-6-3. Just get a double play ball. 45s are at double play depth. Here's the 1-1 delivery to Bo Smith from Shepard. Bounced in there, smothered by Brown. The catcher, the runner's going to break for second, and no throw from the catcher, Rowan Brown. It's just going to hold on to it. On the wild pitch, getting to second base. The Indians just not wanting to get shut out here, as they have nothing but goose eggs on the top half of that scoreboard. It's an 11-0 ball game. Shepard kicks and deals the 2-1. It's a line shot toward left, but foul toward the Colt 45 bullpen. And out of play. So 2 balls and 2 strikes. Shepard waiting. And peers in. With one out and the runner on second. Now time called. Stepping out of the box is Bo Smith, who's struck out twice tonight and flown to left. Here's the 2-2 from Shepard. Kicks and deals. This is low for ball three. Close pitch there. Just didn't quite catch the kneecaps of Smith. It's a count. Moves to 3 balls and 2 strikes. Another full count. Shepard working. Payoff. It's a line shot toward left in the air. Looking up is Blankenship, and it is off the netting. It's a 2-run shot here in the ninth. And there's still life on the Fairfield side. It's 11-2 now.
Love the excitement from a few of the fans over there. A few of the Fairfield fans have made the trip. But unfortunately, that will go away with the shutout.
And that's some...
That ball got out in a hurry.
A lot of celebration. That's what happens when you sit on the right pitch. You get the pitch you want, and you barrel it. And a line shot to left, eh? Like you said, Spencer, got out in a hurry. What a shot from Bo Smith, who had a home run last night as well. That was a solo shot. And for Fairfield, they don't get shut out, which is always good. That's something you always try and do.
Right.
And
gives you a chance to win.
Definitely too little, too late.
Right.
But just, you never know.
Yeah, and this could also play major factor, as this one's fouled over our heads, even if the count 1-1. This could play major factor in tomorrow's game as well. Just give them a little bit of momentum, get them rolling into the series deciding match tomorrow.
I was going to say, there's a lot now with, you know, you feel like you've been shut out all night long. You've just been shut down. You finally get something going your way as you head into the game tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And it's not necessarily about this ball game. It's about, again, riding that momentum. Ride the wave to tomorrow.
Right.
And go for the series win. Scratch this one. Go to sleep tonight and forget about it. And it's a brand new game tomorrow. It's the fun of baseball. Here's the 2-1 delivery from Shepard. This one's line shot into right center field. That will be off the base of the wall. Bounding first and headed for second and cruising into second with a stand-up double is Larry Westbrook and some shouting and yelling from the Fairfield dugout. They are seeing the ball well here in this ninth inning.
I will say,
both of those hit on the screws.
Yeah, I absolutely love the energy coming from this Fairfield side. They're just having fun with it at this point. They know the game's been in hand for a couple innings now, but their excitement and the energy is what they need heading in tomorrow for sure. Not that I'm necessarily supporting the Fairfield Indians here, like, not trying to get everyone confused, but Colt 45's Bob Anderson's going to go out and talk with Shepard as well.
Yeah, just chat things over. Again, two hard-hit baseballs. And now the home plate umpire just gave a bench warning to the Fairfield Indians, which, yeah, just, you know, makes sense, I guess.
Maybe just slightly excessive when you're down 9.
Yeah.
Celebrating that kind of way. But again, summer wooden bat league, like we talk about this a lot. It's a lot of fun. You just want to come out here, have fun, work on your game, give everyone an opportunity to play, and just enjoy it.
Yeah, and in the best way possible.
Right.
The score doesn't matter.
Right, so exactly. But I'm not naive to the fact that all these men are similar ages to us, and I know if we were out there, we'd definitely be playing to win. Nothing but a competitive style. There you go.
I mean, gosh.
Nothing different.
Yeah, no maliciousness, of course.
Right,
but
right.
There's hype to it. Doesn't matter what the score is. You want to have fun. It's,
yeah, absolutely.
It's a kid's game, you know, at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
It's also developmental baseball. At the end of the day, that scoreboard does not matter. More so for the Fairfield Indians, it matters because playoffs and everything else, as the number 9 of the Fairfield Indians, not sure who it is, takes a called strike 1. Someone we don't have on our rosters. Here's the 0-1. This is up and away.
This game's really got a lot of legs left, it feels like. Last hour's kind of dragged on over the last inning and a half or so.
That first half went by in about an hour and a half.
Right.
Not much longer. Now the 1-1. Waved at for strike 2. And judging by the energy from the dugout, this is a case of a PO, better known as a pitcher only.
Right.
Or, as we used to call them when I played, a glorified cross-country runner. PO grabbing the bat and getting some ABs here.
There you go.
Just for fun. Here's the 1-2 from Shepard. Way down to chase it. Some high cheese up and away, and now down to their final out are the Fairfield Indians. It's a right-hand batter up to the plate. Some talking as he makes his way back to the dugout. Some chatting with Tyler Shepard from afar. Some frustrations being aired out. It's Tyler Shepard with some looks back and forth to the field umpires, like, am I doing anything wrong?
Yeah,
seems to not be, as Rolando Ramos will step to the plate. Ramos had a home run last night. That was one of the 4 solo shots as well. Again, some cheering from that Fairfield Indians dugout. With the runner on second and 2 outs, Shepard draws a swing and a miss. Reared back through some high-octane biome. And a smile from Rolando Ramos, the right-hand batter.
Yeah, he knows what he's here for, you can tell in that little meeting between the umpires and Tyler Shepard. He's out here chopping it up with some of the fans, the Colt 45 fans on this side of the...
Now the other one is foul tips held on for strike 2. Yeah, that's when you're late on a fastball like that, that's where you shout from the crowd, Louisiana, and then follow it up with a little bayou. Let the kids at home figure that one out.
There you go.
No balls and 2 strikes. Shepard comes set from the third base side. A deep breath. The 0-2 is waved that ball in the dirt. Smothered by Brown. A clear throw down to first. Oh. It's going to go off of Rolando Ramos. Karim's foul. And now caught in a pickle between first and second. Tag applied on the throw from Mora to Conklin. And the ball game comes to a close on the 2-3-6 strikeout. Plus a little bit more real estate, and the side is retired. Some jawing going on back and forth between Conklin and the batter Rolando Ramos, and some Fairfield Indians and Colt 45s going to get just jawing back and forth with each other as it comes to a close in a little bit of a fun way. as Eric Winchester, you love to see it, goes out there and tells everyone to split up and go back to their separate places. Some handshakes with the sheriffs.
Every once in a while, you see those guys getting a handshake in there.
You love to see some
PC handshake.
Some good nature drawing. Now the coach just kind of setting up a wall there with some of the umpires. Some frustration flaring on both sides, but nothing happening, nothing going on. Just some good nature drawing, give or take a little bit more. And
I had a feeling something like that was going to happen here tonight based off that last series of events as well. Obviously, Rowan Brown not attempting to, but that one going straight off the back of the helmet on that throw out. And then it looked like Andrew Mora throwing an elbow as he was rounding first as well. Whether it was intentional or not, I guess. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, some extracurriculars on that last play specifically.
And Eric Winchester talking with the Fairfield Indians just to make sure it's all good. Telling everybody to go back and... Eric Winchester, who was known as Fireball Winch in the Simon Simpson, but also making some motions to not keep talking, especially with his pitchers. Yeah, both parties so lingering on the field.
This is your reminder to out to the ballpark tomorrow night for... Look out for... If David Miley back said the World Series, 45, the final game of the campaign.
Tomorrow night. It might be a fun one.
There we go.
Hopefully it will be, as it will be a rubber match. And now, John Downey, in disgust with the home plate umpire, surrounded by all of the Colt 45's coaching staff, and I think he got ejected after the game was already over, as him and Winchester get a talking to from the umpires, and they were trying to, again, just make sure everything was kept, trying to keep things between the players not to get more chippy. And it's been a fun one here in Tiger Field. We'll be back with the totals after this.
Home to an individual with intellectual and developmental... Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
Well, for the Colt 45s, it was 11 runs on, not sure how many hits if our math is right, but I think 11 or 12. And then no errors. They left a total of 12 aboard. And the Fairfield Indians, 2 runs on 4 hits. They had a handful of errors, 5 total, and they left 4. The winning pitcher is Nate Sheriff. The losing pitcher is Ben Seitz. Not a save situation as Shepard completes the final inning. 11-2, your final score. In front of a crowd of about 350 here tonight at Tiger Field. The final time of the ballgame was 3 hours and 10 minutes. Jacob Green here with you with Spencer Schlinge and David Wiley back in the studio engineering things for us. Things got out of hand after that fifth inning. And it was walks and errors that ended up really costing the Fairfield Indians. And from there, it was kind of just smooth sailing for the 45s. Their offense just able to kind of have their way after a very successful couple of innings there, putting some crooked numbers on the board.
Yeah, absolutely. They did great tonight. Obviously, that fifth inning was the big part, the breakout. The 5 runs coming in the fifth really set them apart. It took a little bit for either side to get going, but we got plenty of fireworks all the way through after that fifth inning. In multiple different references, you can take that with a grain of salt. You can put that into any form of context, and it'll pretty much be accurate. We got it all tonight at the ballpark, and I can't wait for how tomorrow's going to go, and hopefully I'll be out here with you on the call. We'll be able to set this team off in a justified kind of way after tonight.
Yeah, they get back in the winning column. They improve to 32-4 on the year. Fairfield falls to 9-21-2. As we will look to the rubber rubber match game of the series tomorrow, as both teams will try and go for the series win. Should be a fun one. The final game on Fan Appreciation Night. Come on out to the ballpark or tune in on the radio here on KCNR Stress Reading, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at KCNRradio.com. Jacob Green here with you with Spencer Schlinger. We got one more tomorrow coming to you. Special thanks to David Wiley back in the studio of Engineering Big Sports. The final score from Tucker Field tonight was the Fairfield Indians 2 and your Colt 45s 11. Romanov drifting back to the track, right to the wall, and it's off the base of the wall. Carries back into straightaway center field. Danhauser on the heels of Parker. That's coming around to score will be Lopez. Parker in to score. The throw to the cutoff man. Danhauser head first, slide at the plate. The throw, the tag, safe at the plate. Tyler Danhauser with a round tripper the hard way. Legs it out all of the bases. And scores an inside.
A
the
reputation
park
for excellence since 1965.
Look at your home from the street for a second. Now imagine it with rich, fresh color, clean trim, and a finish that looks great in the sunshine. Eagle Eye Painting can make that happen quickly and professionally. Our friendly crew focuses on the details through prep, careful edges, and a job site that's cleaned up when we're done. We're local, licensed, bonded, and insured, and we can walk you through the whole process in English or Spanish. Make this the season your home really stands out. Call Eagle Eye Painting at 530-410-1317 for your free exterior estimate. That's 530-410-1317 or visit 530painter.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Join me, Mark Levin, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. KCNR, your talk radio.
Donald Trump is doing something that's never been done in American history. Now, what Trump is trying to do all at once, he wants to, what I call, reindustrialize America.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
KCNR, your talk radio.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Get ready for a night of pure country gold. A true star and entertainer, Tracy Lawrence, is coming to the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center stage Saturday, September 5th. Sing along to the hits that defined a generation. Tickets start at just $55. Time marches on. Don't let the show pass you by. Get your tickets today. Must be 21 to attend. For tickets or complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Grab your boots. Your adventure begins here at Wind River Resort and Casino.
He's in an 82% tax bracket, a self-paid man, and they were putting up taxes. And as Margaret Thatcher said, the problem with socialism isn't socialism is you run out of spending other people's money. Now, this is exactly what's happening here in the U.S. Let's look at Mandami. And a lot of the things he says are absolutely lovely. They sound wonderful. Oh, yeah, free busing, free childcare. It's all lovely. But again, as Margaret Thatcher says, there's no free lunch. Somebody somewhere between has to pay for everything. Who's going to pay for it? Yes, it's going to be the taxes of the wealthy. But the problem with the wealthy is they can lose. They will leave. Now, what I've always said is if you believe in socialism, you want socialism, everybody voluntarily in America can add more to their taxes. Like, add another $1 million. Give another $1 million. That's what you can do.
Yes.
Do that instead, because in the long run, it doesn't work. And again, I would be all ears if you could point to a nation where it works. Now, in addition to the things you mentioned earlier, or you mentioned I headed global business development worldwide. So I did live in Holland. Now, many people would point to a lot of the Nordic countries, actually, and they'd say, well, Hillary, the Nordic countries, they have socials, yes. And that works. Ah, but there's catches. Now, are you ready? And our audience needs to be very crystal clear on this. I know this firsthand. I lived in Holland for 3 years. I had my eldest son there, and I'll tell you the truth. When I was home on my maternity leave, I learned something very important. The neighbors came by. They all bought me a little something to congratulate me on my baby, and I thanked them so much, and they said, oh, yeah, we do the same if somebody is back is out. But we also go to check that they are not just staying home and taking the government money, because then we report them to the government. So what happens, and I always call it, what I refer to it as the Viking principle. Now, a lot of our audience would have seen the lovely Norwegian row during the World Cup. But it's very important. When the Vikings literally were rowing across the Atlantic or rowing to all the places they invaded, when you're in a boat and everyone's rowing, so Patrice is rowing, I'm rowing, and 10 members of our audience are rowing. If Patrice's back goes out, well, I continue to row, and I row even harder because I'm covering for your back.
Yeah.
What you don't do is have four people sitting in the boat having cocktails with you rowing for them, because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So the Nordic countries, people are brought up with, we have to cover for our neighbors if their back is out. Our government has to pay for them, but we will report them if they're just taking money. And that's very different than the way things are in America, where we have, yes, in America, we have thousands of people that are just on the take, let alone sanctuary cities, free housing, free food, that you and I and everybody who's listening who pays taxes are paying for them to do nothing.
Well, we're speaking with Hillary Ford, which, you know, you framed this really well. And folks, you're understanding two different perspectives of people coming from different countries to what's different here in the United States. You know, Hillary, you picked up on this idea of charity where, you know, in England, your neighbor, or in the other country you mentioned, your neighbor will, you know, take care of you, see after you. But there's that element of the tattletale where there's the reporting, because everyone is expected to put in their equal share. Otherwise, the system breaks down. In the United States here, we don't do that. In fact, you know, it might actually help the fraud, the waste, fraud, and abuse efforts if we set up a line and you called, you know, on your neighbor across the street who should be on disability but is lifting panels to put on, solar panels to put on his roof, right? That would be something, but we don't do that, because I do think that Americans, you know, we believe in the best of each other, from each other, and we say to each other, you know what? Do what you want to do, and I'm going to take care of me. And as long as my taxes keep getting low and what you're doing is not impacting me in a negative way, then I'm fine with it. And because we are focused on creating value, whether you are, you know, building your own small business, maybe you're delivering groceries for one of the apps, making some side cash, you know, you're setting up your bake sale, your kids are setting up a bake sale and a lemonade stand to learn about entrepreneurship. There's something ingrained here in America that is so different from other countries. And, you know, we look at the economy. I was going to ask you about the GDP, the Federal Reserve. I mean, where do you see the economy right now? Because to me, the entrepreneurial spirit is very much alive in this country, even though we have these challenges coming from the socialist whose values really quench that spirit.
Yeah, you're totally correct on that. If I could add one thing about when we're talking about taxes and what we want as Americans, I'm not going to take the liberty of speaking for everybody else listening, our audience and all Americans. But when I'm paying my taxes, I feel as an able-bodied person, I don't mind providing for the invalid, the handicapped. I don't mind providing for veterans. I don't mind providing for the elderly. Anybody who really needs it, because I know I'm able-bodied. It's the people that are taking advantage of the system.
Yes.
And I think that is the line.
True.
And I take the liberty of speaking for other people. Now to answer your question regarding the economy. Actually, Patrice, people love it when I share this. And they always say, Hillary, I can't believe that. I'll do the same. One of the data points I always look to, which actually you don't hear a lot of talking about, so much of the data that the government has to pay attention to and receive is antiquated data. It's like driving a car looking in the rearview mirror. We don't do that. So they actually use data that is received and generated collected from landlines. So I don't know about you, Patrice, but I don't even know someone who has a landline, right? So here's one very interesting data point that I pay attention to. If you pay attention to how the sales of sports goods are doing, it will tell you everything you need to know. Why? Because it's totally discretionary. So if you think you're going to lose your job and you're not doing well and you're scared about the economy, you will not go out and buy sports boots because you don't really need them. They're discretionary. So it's a very good data point to pay attention to. And right now, sports boots sales are up by 27%.
Wow.
And I look at that and I say, oh, good. Now, let's look at the Fed and let's look at what just happened with Kevin Warsh. Now, first of all, back up a second. We all know, I think most people know, Kevin Warsh is under tremendous pressure because
Federal Reserve Chair, Kevin Warsh, yes.
Yeah, sorry to clarify. Yeah, Federal Reserve Chair, Kevin Warsh. He's under tremendous pressure from President Trump, who would like QE, which is quantitative easing. What is that? That is bringing interest rates down. And everybody, every member of our audience can relate to the interest we pay on our credit cards, by the way. That's a way to throw away money. You don't have to do that. Always pay off your credit card bill. But we pay attention to what our mortgage rates are. That really matters. So it matters what interest rates are. Now, they held them steady. And one of the things that Kevin Warsh, the Fed chair, has said, which I think is very, very wise, he has said, we're not going to do a lot of forward guidance. What does that mean? The former Fed chair used to actually do a lot of talking about where the economy is going, what we're seeing. And that would actually either help the market, shape the market. That isn't the role of the Fed. The Fed's role is to look at the data that has been collected and to act upon that. But I will give the caveat. One of the things, I believe it was Alan Greenspan, a former Fed chair, but I'm not 100% certain, but definitely a former Fed chair said, steering the economy is like trying to steer the Queen Mary. In other words, you know, you have the 2 miles in advance, put the brakes on, or steer left 2 miles in advance. Anything they do today isn't actually going to affect what happens next month or even at the end of this year. It's going to be next year,
okay,
2 years out. So right now, we're actually acting upon the actions of the Fed from 2 years ago.
Wow. I mean, it's so interesting. We're speaking with Hillary Fordwich on just the economy and where we're at. And, you know, what you gave me, and I look at these data and this data and this number, and I do recognize that there are folks who are stretched a little thin. But I also recognize that I think Americans are weathering the economy very well and that the economy is good. And so I love that data point around discretionary spending, sports goods. So I think of Dick's Sporting Goods. I think of a lot of the retailers, even the Walmart area that has, you know, balls and athletic gear. We are gearing up in the fall. I know my husband coaches. I've got sons who are on the travel team. You know, so we are one of those families that are spending money on cleats and all of this type of equipment. But I think that's a really good measure and a reminder for us that we would love some more measure, but we're not as bad as we could be. And I listened to Kevin Hassett, who's on the President's Economic Council. He's, I believe, chair of the council this morning. And he said, yeah, when you look at generally what's going on in the rest of the economy, that headline GDP growth number of, I believe it was 1.2% or 1.5% in Q2, that is reflective of the amount of investment that's being made by companies in purchasing in anticipation of an AI boom. And so when you look at the consumer data, consumer spending is on a strong track in the spring months. So that's good news, and especially good news for families as they're, you know, buying their back to school items, as they're thinking about the end of the year and Christmas shopping. Folks don't need to give in to the panic over the economy. They don't need to give in to the fear-mongering, because honestly, Hillary, would you agree that a lot of the economic fear-mongering are probably driven by people with partisan motivations that don't want to see this administration do well?
Oh, you're absolutely correct there. In fact, there's two things that I would do that, again, guidance for our audience. Number one, they always say if you listen to a president's speech or anybody that's talking, listen to how many times they repeat a certain word, that will show you what the priority is. So when Fed Chair Kevin Warsh was giving his remarks yesterday, I believe it was, or the day before, he kept using the word resiliency, consumer resiliency.
Yes.
That's what's really important to pay attention to. The consumer, to your point earlier, is very resilient. Look at gas prices. I mean, they're $4 a gallon, and the consumer is resilient. So I think resiliency, and now to your very good observation, and I think our audience will have to pay attention to this. One of the things I always look at and read, I listen to media, I mean, I'm on, as you mentioned, thank you, but I'm on Newsmax and Sky News Australia and GB News, all of which are conservative leaning, but I read and listen to all media, the left, there isn't really the middle anymore, the left and the right. When you see something, you know, on the left that's, you know, pretty much, you know, anti-Trump and got a different, to your point, political agenda. When you see them reporting something positive about the economy, even reluctantly, you know it's really good, because otherwise they wouldn't, right? So that's one of the things I look to. And Reuters has said exactly what Kevin Walsh is saying. The consumer is resilient. The CPI has been up, so the consumer price index.
Yes.
And you look at whether it's discretionary items or even just regular payroll numbers. And something very important, which actually I noticed on, it was actually on CNBC, they actually said it so quickly. They said it under their breath for the audience didn't hear. And I want to make a, no, I want to make a very big point of this, because the Beatles were singing at that time. Do you know our unemployment rate hasn't been this low since 1969?
Wow.
Let me say that one more time. Our unemployment rate in the United States has not been this low since 1969, when the Beatles were singing Hey Jude. So that's a long time ago. And that is a huge number. I mean, that should have been headlines around the world, but
yes,
it was buried by everything other than if you're a nerd like me and you're reading down to the details of the 17th paragraph. But that's huge.
It is huge.
People will always be saying, oh, God, the unemployment rate has soared, but they didn't report that.
Well, no, they're not going to. I mean, listen, we know next week is usually the beginning of the month. Next Friday is Jobs Day, and so we will understand where the unemployment numbers are, but the unemployment rate is historically low. And frankly, Hillary, I pointed this out a few weeks ago. It's the summertime. Parents who have children who are out of school, they do tend to leave the workforce and take some time off. So if there's even some ripple of, you know, unemployment, it's very often probably temporary during this time of the year. I wholeheartedly agree with you that we need to have a very optimistic view of where we are as a country and looking at where people's finances are, despite some of the different headwinds that are temporary, you know, not really long-term structural stuff. That's the good news, folks. It's not about, you know, we're in the Great Depression or recession. It's not that we've got COVID anymore. Oh, and teaser, we will be talking about Dr. Fauci very soon, folks. So stay tuned. But we're not dealing with those issues. And I think folks should be taking, not with a grain of salt, but understand that if the left is just speaking over the good news, it's because they really want you to be fear-mongered on the bad stuff. Hillary Fordwich, please follow folks. Her ex is H. Fordwich Hillary, or go to X, and I've shared it on my Twitter feed, but definitely follow her. And when you see her giving royal news, know that we probably both don't like, the some of the royal family drama. But we will cut it there, and we'll talk more about that later. Hillary, thanks for joining us today.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Investors looking for a 1031 exchange or DST or steady high yield monthly income? You should consider Icon 1031's new student housing near the University of Utah and two new multifamily apartment DSTs in Indianapolis with cash flow starting at 8.05%. That's 8.05% day one. And recently, a major real estate investment trust just named Indianapolis the number one apartment investment market in the U.S. Value add strategy includes adding washer and dryers, pickleball courts, covered parking, new flooring, countertops, appliances, and more. Icon 1031 offers arguably the lowest fees in the industry by cutting out the broker-dealer commission, saving over 10%. Call 893-EXCHANGE. Icon has paid out over $150 million in distributions over 20 years. Visit icon1031.com or call 893-EXCHANGE. 893-EXCHANGE. Investments involve risk. Results vary. Consult your financial and tax professionals.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon.
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Furnished by IntelliBrands.
Have you ever felt leg pain, restlessness, cramps, tingling, swelling, numbness, itchiness, or coldness? Then you need the new patented Legsercise Pro, a natural circulation booster that uses continuous automatic leg movement to soothe pain and promote healthy circulation, the natural drug-free way.
Using Legsercise made walking painless again.
Legsercise Pro's patented walking simulator propulsion technology moves your feet back and forth along its concave track, creating constant movement and flex at both the knee and ankle joints. It's like having a physical therapist right in your own home.
I have much less swelling and no more tingling.
Call right now and order your very own Legsercise Pro, the new proven automatic leg mover that soothes pain and naturally promotes healthy circulation.
Call 800-619-9857. That's 800-619-9857. 800-619-9857 now.
These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
A simple smile can light up a whole room. And for 25 years, Smile Train has been lighting up the world with smiles. As the world's largest cleft lip and palate charity, Smile Train has supported over 2 million life-changing surgeries in over 90 countries. Visit smiletrain.org/learn to learn how Smile Train is supporting the cleft community all over the world. Smile Train, lighting up the world with smiles for 25 years.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
I'm pediatric allergist Dr. Carla Davis. If your child has asthma, let's take a breath together and talk. Does your child need to use a quick relief inhaler more than twice a week to treat asthma? Has your child repeatedly awakened at night due to asthma? If you said yes to either of these questions, it's time to talk to an allergy and asthma specialist like me to help you control your child's asthma. If you feel your child's asthma is not under control, go to controlyourasthma.org.
Sponsored by the Allergy and Asthma Network.
Hello, welcome back to the Chris Plant Show. I'm Patrice Onwuka in for Chris. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to call foul on the WNBA. I'm sure you've seen this story. It's going viral right now. Ahead of Wednesday night's matchup, and this is in the WNBA, between the Dallas Wings and the Atlanta Dream, accordingly, you've got two of the league's most well-known players. Dallas's Paige Bueckers or Buckers and Atlanta's Angel Reese. Angel Reese is no stranger to controversy. If you ever look her up, look up her nails or look up, how much she makes in a week, you will understand the joke. But in short, these two players, they have a good relationship, I guess, off the court. And they decided to make a wager on the game. Well, that's wrong. That's not appropriate, even according to the WNBA's rules. And they were just smart enough to make this wager on social media and to post it. Well, you would think the story would stop there. Obviously, that's going to go viral. But what really made the story go viral is that the WNBA's official X account reposted the video. And I don't know who's running their social media. I hope that person has been relieved of duties at this point. But you know what? It's so silly. Let me play this clip for you so you can hear the video for yourself. Let's play cut three.
At All-Star Weekend, you and Angel made a bet with each other on this game. Is that Ben?
We did. This is how the rich stay rich.
You gotta save this money. I'm gonna see you next week on Wednesday.
Yeah.
At night?
No, at practice.
Oh, at practice?
I mean, I know y'all gonna lose, but if y'all lose,
I get to have that.
If y'all win, you get it 400.
And if we lose, then you get.
No, you owe me 400.
So there you go. That is Angel Reese. And her good buddy Paige Buckers, wagering $400. Now, listen, there are a lot of stupid things going on here. Obviously, wagering on, you shouldn't be gambling, but wagering on your own game that you're playing in, that's one thing. And then you're doing it on social media, that's another. And then the WNBA resharing it. If the WNBA wants some parity with the NBA,
the news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.